This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, as well as a premium Erotica Taboo Podcast, which contains more intense sexual themes. You can access the Taboo Podcast on Spotify or support the other free Erotica podcasts on Patreon, which will allow us to continue providing free content, as well as this gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choice. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction, with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. A Town Without Honor Part 2 by TX Tall Tales. Chapter 04. I woke in a strange bed, disoriented, my mouth a desert, my head throbbing, both behind my eyes and at the back of my head. I felt claustrophobic, contained. I slowly realized a pair of bare arms were holding me and a warm body was pressed against mine. I almost spoke Beth's name when I heard the soft voice. Sure, Honor. It's okay. Relax. I'll get you some water and aspirin. The arms pulled away and I felt lost, abandoned. I rolled onto my back, my head turning, watching her walk away. She was wearing a plain cotton nightgown. It reached almost to her feet, disguising her body. Pale green, with little flowers. She was barefoot. I looked down and realized I was only wearing a pair of boxers. I pulled the sheet up to my waist. She returned and handed me a few pills and a glass of water. All of it now? Drink up. My head's killing me. I murmured. No wonder. Trying to drink St. John's dry by yourself. I'm going to kill those guys. Things were coming back to me. Images, words. Her glaring at me. Some girl whose name I didn't even know trying to give me a tonsillectomy with her tongue. I don't know what to say. She lay down. Nothing for now, all right? She put her hand on my chest, her head on my shoulder, cuddling up to me. Relax. Rest for a bit. I put my arm around her and felt her sigh. God. I groaned. I've never been half that drunk in my entire life. How bad was I? You mean before or after you tore my clothes off and tried to have your way with me? She asked, her voice trembling. No. Please tell me I didn't. I couldn't. Not to you. I pulled my arm away, shrinking away from her. She grabbed my arm and put it back around her shoulder, leaning against me. Of course you didn't. Hell, you couldn't even walk. It took two grown men to get you in my bed. Pretty sad when you think about it. Jesus, Jane! Don't scare me like that! She slapped me on the chest. At least you finally got my name right. You called me Beth half the night. Bastard. I leaned back, miserable. Shit! I grumbled. She gave me a squeeze. It's okay. She kissed my shoulder softly, then giggled. You're a legend now, you know? The noof from away. Millionaire, rock star, tragic love story, bad boy, heartbreaker. Honor the Newfoundland. I guess they got the tragic part right. I'm completely lost, Janie. I don't know what I'm doing or why. I'm getting out of control. This is not me. I'm always the cool, collected one. Serious. Life all figured out. Maybe you needs this. Let the other part of you run wild. Figure out a way to find a life between the two. You're too young and too handsome to be a stick in the mud. I chuckled. Nobody calls me handsome, Janie. Not even my mother. Fools they are. You're a man among boys. Big, strong, wide shoulders. You look like a lumberjack, not a businessman. She gave a tug on my beard. We might could lose this. I wonder what hides behind it. Ugly mug? She giggled. I doubt that. She was quiet a moment. Are you really a millionaire, or was that just talk? You said you gave your wife your business. You weren't lying to me, was ya? No. Never. I took a little money out of the business before I left. Less than 20% of the cash reserves. I just sold a patent I had for a couple of million. I had some investment money offshore I helped myself to, not much, really. Yeah, I have a few million. It's only money. Not worth much in the big scheme of life. What's the gold mine you're sitting on? She asked, teasingly. Jesus, I was babbling last night, wasn't I? She nodded. Trying to impress? Hell no. I just wanted to spend my money. They wouldn't let me. Hell, I earned it. It's mine. About time I spent a little. Gold mine? She asked again, trying to keep me focused. I sighed. I sold the patent because I have a better one. If the old one was worth a couple of million, this one's worth a lot more. I was going to use it in my business until I got the slap in the face. They didn't deserve it. I gave them the business, but without the patents, it's a hard road ahead of them. You're going to hang them out to dry then, are you? Punish them all. I was getting a little irritated with the grilling. Why not? They betrayed me. Every last one of them. It was my fault, for working so hard, they said. Spending all my time on the business I loved. I felt my blood pressure rising. I never loved that business. I did it because I had to. For them. I gave my life to that town, and to my family, and they punished me for it. Fuck him. She sighed, pulling me sideways and hugging me until I calmed. When my breathing had settled, she kissed me softly. Damn, that was a nice little kiss. I don't believe you, Honor. I glared at her. Are you saying I'm lying? I don't lie. I don't. She kissed me again, a little longer. No, you're lying to yourself. You're not going to let them go under. You're going to save them. Save her. I knows it. Why should I? I growled. I'm not saying you should. I'm saying you will. I don't know how, and I can't figure out why, but you're going to. Soon, too, would be my guess. I hated to admit it, but she probably was right. They betrayed me, Janie. All of them. My wife. My mother. My family. My employees. All of them. Every last fucking one of them. I know. I'm sorry. You're too good for them. They don't deserve you, and still, you're going to do it anyway. It's who you are. I hate them. I said softly. You hate what they did. Why? Why wouldn't even one person take my side? Didn't I deserve that much? I gave my whole life to them. She rolled onto her back, and I followed, leaning over her, looking down into that pretty face, eyes moist. I don't know, Honor. I can't understand it either. I kissed her. Long and deep, my hand wandering over her body, cupping her breast. After a while, she pushed me away. No. I wish you were free, but you're still tied to her, to them. Not like this. She was right. I stopped, then leaned down and pressed my lips softly to hers. You're right, Janie. I haven't let go yet. I don't know how. I'm trying. Go back. Work it out. If one day you find yourself available, think of me, Honor. Please. I'll think of you all the time. There's something about you, I don't know what, but it calls to me. It's screaming in my soul. She pulled my head down, her lips taking mine possessively. I know that sound. It's a faint echo of mine. She pulled away from me. I thought I'd let you sleep in, but it's clear you're up now. I think we should both get dressed, and get you back to your hotel. I'd let you buy me breakfast, but for a rich guy, you're busted. Not a dollar in your wallet. Why don't you clean up and then, if you don't mind, we'll go back to my place. I can make myself presentable and I'll buy you the biggest breakfast you can imagine. She laughed. No, you won't. We're having Sunday dinner at Nanny's. She'd kill me if you arrived without an appetite. A little brunch will do. I leaned back and rested, while she got ready. I listened to her moving around, singing in the shower, talking to me from the bathroom. I had naughty thoughts of her but tried to push them away. I eventually got up and dressed the best I could in the previous day's clothing. They stunk, but they'd have to do. A little more than an hour later I was almost human again, as we sat at a table on the sidewalk, enjoying the sunshine, and an English breakfast. Janie was looking at me. Who are you, Honor? The man who can open his heart to a stranger, the lost boy, the carefree vagabond, the broken soul, barroom singer, the mysterious Yank? Who are you now? Don't I wish I knew? For the moment, I'm just a lonely guy enjoying the company of a kind, beautiful woman under a gorgeous sky. How much longer do I have you? When are you leaving? She asked nervously. I don't know. No plans, really. I have to go back sometime, I know. Get some closure. I'm afraid. Afraid? You? Why? I shrugged. Don't know. Guess I'm probably worried I'll let them suck me back in, crush my soul, put me back on the treadmill for everyone else's sake. They always tell me I'll do the right thing. I always do, it's a curse. I'm afraid of figuring out what the right thing is. I'll tell you what the right thing is, Honor. Take care of yourself for once. Before it's too late. I'm trying, Janie. No, you're not. You're wallowing in your misery. Let it go. Forget about it a while. That's easy for you to say. All my life, it's been Beth. She shook her head. Everyone's had their heart broken, Honor. How you made it more than 30 years without it happening is a miracle. It hurts. Then it hurts a little less. Eventually, it's a painful memory you avoid dredging up. I was looking at her funny, and she paused. What? Where the hell did your Newfie accent go? She blushed. Itwkia likes the Newfie girls, B. I just raised my eyebrows, waiting. She laughed. God, you're adorable. Alright, so most of the younger crowd matched the company. With the parents and down in the harbor, when the accent's going, you kind of go along, blend in. When I'm talking to you, I guess I follow your way. All of you? Oh, hell no. Ronnie, Diane and that lot could no sooner speak without an accent than you could tell a lie. I can lie if I wanted to. Right. I looked at her, square in the eye. What if I said I think you're ugly? She pouted, eyes open in surprise. Shit. Shit, I didn't mean it. You're beautiful, gorgeous. You take my breath away. Furthest thing from ugly there is. I'm sorry. She laughed at me. You can't lie worse shit, Honor. 5 seconds out of your mouth, and you're scrambling to take it back. She gave my hand a squeeze. That's not a bad thing, you know. On the other hand, she continued. I'm not sure I like someone who could say that so coldly. Try to hurt me. She looked sad and disappointed. I was shocked. Had my little joke been that bad? I said I'm sorry, Janie. I didn't mean it. I think subconsciously you did. It was a cruel thing to say. Janie. I didn't, I swear. She winked at me. Now, that's how you tell a lie. Straight-faced, no mercy. Sell it. I was lost for words, lips moving, but nothing coming out. She giggled. I'm teasing, Honor. Jasis, B. That was cold. I told her. And you don't deserve it? Or do I need to remind you of last night, Loverlips? I blushed. Game, set, match to Jane. She stood, grinning. Take me for a ride on your motorcycle, Honor. We've got a couple of hours before we have to be to Nanny's. Let's go up to Cape Spear. Cape Spear? Easternmost point in North America. Unless you're counting Greenland now. It's pretty up there. I should try to talk to the kids before we go. I told them I'd call them this time every day, whenever I could. Let's do it then. Time's a wasting dot. I was the one wasting my time. My daughter Marie was still giving me the cold shoulder. Carol asked me to be patient. Do you have time for a quick hello to Beth? She pleaded. Not today, Carol. Sorry. Maybe tomorrow. I think it was the first time I told her no when she asked. She looked a little surprised. All right. It really would help her, though. She's been down in the dumps since your last talk. Not today. She nodded sadly. You do what you have to, Honor. I understand. Please don't give up on them. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for trying with Marie. She nodded. I said goodbye and cut her off. Jane didn't prod me about the call, and we took her car down a couple of miles to a motorcycle store so I could get her a helmet. Canada wasn't as lenient as many of the states, and I only had one. After that, it was only 20 minutes or so out to the point. I stood staring across the vast ocean, high above the water, in the shadow of the old lighthouse. Damn, it was beautiful country, and I couldn't help but think how lucky I was to have Jane there with me to share it. We walked hand in hand, while she filled me in on a little history. I was sad for it to end when she told me it was time to head out to her grandparents. I liked having her on the bike, her body pressed against mine, arms around my waist. I was proud and almost never thought of Beth during the ride. She made me take a detour down to Quidi Vidi, where I was informed the regatta was held every year. I'd only missed it by a couple of weeks. She was already trying to get me to commit to making the next one. It's part of what we are, Honor, here in Argentia. You need to see it, feel it, live it. It's your history. We were parked at the end of the lake, looking over the serene waters. I'd like to, but no commitments. I don't make them lightly since I refuse to break them. I confess I'd enjoy learning more about it, with a pretty little tour guide like you. She laughed. I'm sure you'd have no problem finding someone to stand beside you. We had one more stop, unbeknownst to me, before our Sunday dinner. Jane took me out to the back 40 on the family property near her grandparents' place. I drove down a dirt track until I reached the meadow. We're looking for red berries, low to the ground. Perfect time of the year for partridge berries, and Nanny will love you for it. They were easy to spot, large groupings of the bright red berries. Some plants might have only a few, while others had dozens. They were small, sort of wild blueberry-sized and reminded me of the berries on a holly, but these plants were lower. We filled a bag in less than 20 minutes. I tried a few, a little tart for my taste, but good nonetheless. 10 minutes later we were pulling up in front of the family home, a boxy, two-story cube of a building, red siding, white trim, with an odd little one-story wing sticking off the side. Looked 100 years old if it was a day. Several cars were parked in the grass and filled the driveway. Easy to see we weren't the only ones coming over for dinner. Hugs and kisses all around as we entered, and then I was whisked away from the kitchen where the smells of the cooking were an assault on the senses. The cabbage smell dominated, although the roast chicken seemed to be giving it a run for its money. The men were gathered around out on the grass, in a bedlam of lawn chairs, no two alike. Uncle Luke was holding court, and I was guided to a rough-hewn Adirondack chair that had seen better days. Uncle Luke was sitting in its brother, although his was a rocker. Jane's cousin Jeff, my guide from the previous night's excursion, stuck a beer in my hand, India on the label. Get that India, B, he said with a laugh. We chatted and I took some ribbing for my performance the night before. You're out of practice, Honor, one of the men said, whose name I couldn't for the life of me recall. A couple of dozen beers and you were flat on your back. Way out of practice, I confessed. I probably haven't had more than 3 beers in one night in the last 10 years. No bars your way? Jeff asked. Not much time for it, I'm afraid. Bit of a workaholic, with a family to take up the rest of my time. The occasional wedding or big party I might drink a few, but that's about it. No more than half a dozen times a year. You don't drink when you play? Another cousin asked. Daryl, I learned his name was. I don't play in public anymore. Hell, to be honest, I hadn't really picked up a guitar since college. Uncle Luke piped in. A shame, that. About time you come home, Den. A man needs his outlets. I'll work all the time, it's not good for de soul B. I lifted my beer to him. I won't argue. Haven't felt this alive in years. Jeff laughed. Didn't look very alive when we carried you up the stairs last night. Dead to the world, you was. I'll be keeping an eye on you. It was funny to hear this 22-year-old claiming responsibility for keeping me on my feet and sober. Smelled good in the kitchen. What's for dinner? I asked. Uncle Luke looked at me like I had 3 heads. Sunday dinner. I'm sure I told you. Daryl, or maybe his brother Darren, spoke up. I'm not sure which. The two guys in their late 40s, early 50s looked too much alike for me to tell them apart yet. Jig's dinner every Sunday. I was still confused and they were laughing at me. Damn, B, it's a good bit of work, making a right nuff out of you. Boiled dinner? Salt beef, turnip greens, new potatoes, carrots, figgy duff, peas pudding. Surely you've had it? Can't say I have, I confessed. What the hell's the matter with that sister of mine? Uncle Luke asked angrily. Didn't have a Sunday dinner for the family? I grew up away from the rest of them. I was down in Pittsburgh. Never had much opportunity for a family dinner, until I was 15 or so. Grandma passed 2 years after I moved back. She wasn't doing much cooking then. Uncle Luke didn't look happy. No sense of family? Her kids didn't pick up the slack? Different traditions, I guess. Family barbecue every now and then, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Easter dinners. I found myself trying to defend them. Family's still a big deal. Hell, 42 of the people working for me were all direct relatives. Aunts, uncles, first and second cousins. That's not counting the companies I hired for things like janitorial service and maintenance. All family? 42? Uncle Luke asked. What kind of business you have, you can keep that many working. Grocery maybe? I explained the nature of my business, the growth, and how they turned on me, and I left. It was a long talk, with lots of nosy questions. Guess I couldn't complain about that, they were family. To be honest, they seemed more like family to me than half the crowd at home. As Uncle Luke would have said. A shame, that. Darren, I recognized him now, because of the hat he was wearing, spat on the ground. Not a set of balls on the lot of them. Nobody took that fucker to the side and whipped his ass. What kind of family is that, son? I shook my head sadly. I've been asking myself the same question, Darren. The same damn question. Not a single one of the bastards took my side. I carried that whole damn town, for all the good it did me. Daryl put another beer in my hand. Well, fuck them, the whole damn lot of them. May the business collapse and the whole lousy stinking bunch of them end up on the dole. No respect for a marriage, or for the man putting food on their plate. Let them rot. Their family, Daryl. Uncle Luke said softly. Maybe not the best family a man could have, but family nonetheless. He turned to me. I don't imagine they had cause to disrespect you, Honor. You weren't bad to them? I shrugged. I don't believe so. I paid top wages. Provided great benefits. Helped when they needed it. Put 3 of their kids through college every year. Shared the profits with all of them. Hired 4 or 5 more people every year, usually more. Took care of a few hospital bills that got out of hand. Gave them loans when they needed. I did my best. I took a drink. I might not have been the easiest boss. I wouldn't put up with drugs on the job, or affairs in the office place. No cheating about hours worked. I had my rules, and I expected them to abide by them. My sister tells me I was too hard on him. That's why none of them liked me. It was difficult to confess that last part. That's bullshit. Daryl said harshly. They wouldn't respect you if you were too easy on him. It was your job to make sure the business was run right. They had to know that. Sometimes it takes a hard man to be a good boss. I shrugged. I don't know. I did my best. That's all I could do. Whatever it was, I guess it wasn't enough. What was it you did in your business? Uncle Luke asked. I explained the concept behind Honor Energy, high-efficiency energy-saving central controls for higher-end homes. Thermostatically controlled vents, pressure sensors for leaky ducts. Tie-ins to solar and geothermal power solutions, including solar water heating. Smart control panels, with learning software to adapt to the owner's preferences. A smallish niche market where we did very well in the Northeast, and we're just starting to make some inroads nationally. It was nice to see they understood, for the most part. It started an energetic conversation about the different needs for different regions, and how we handled it. Ties to government grants and local energy subsidies and tax breaks. How they would apply differently in different provinces of Canada. We were still digging into the details when we were called into dinner. I didn't have much choice in what I ate. Jane loaded up my plate for me, with a bit of everything, and a few things I didn't recognize. The taste was strong, the salt beef and cabbage overpowering. It was good, but it appeared to be nothing less than ambrosia to those around me. My manners had been impressed on me enough to make sure I commented on how wonderful everything was and to ask about the items I was unfamiliar with. Uncle Luke was beaming. Bet you never ate nothing like this, back where you're from. Shame that, what you've been missing. Bit like a boiled dinner you can get at the diner, with more ingredients, and the salt beef instead of corned beef. Daryl's wife, Anne, spoke up. Lot of people round here opting for corned beef these days. Make the jigs with little more than cabbage, potatoes, and carrots. Real shame, barely a shade of the real thing. I was filled in a little more on relationships, who belonged to whom, where they lived, where they worked. Uncle Daryl was one of the fortunate few who had a crabbing license, after the cod embargo, and he made a good living at it, along with his sons, a brother-in-law, and a nephew or two. His daughter Lena's husband worked with him. I understood his opinion on being a boss a little better. Most of them were second cousins, my father's first cousins, and second cousins once or twice removed. It was too complicated to figure out. I figured if they were my father's generation, they were uncles and aunts, if they were mine, they were cousins. The younger ones I didn't worry about. After the dinner, we retired back outside. I was surprised that almost a third of them smoked. A lot of newfies smoked. At $8 a pack it was an expensive habit. I was offered a smoke, then a cigar. Even a pipe by Uncle Luke. I had to explain I'd never used tobacco of any type. Smarter than you look. Uncle Luke teased. We had a good half hour before the women joined us. As they came straggling out, more chairs were dragged out of the garage. I offered up my chair, one of the better ones, but Nanny would have none of that. First time in my home, You think I've no sense of how to treat a guest? Next time, you'll fend for yourself, she said with a smile. Talk turned to politics for a while, losing me, then broke into a few separate pockets of conversation. Jane had maneuvered her chair next to mine, opposite Uncle Luke. Honest now, what did you think of dinner? She said softly, leaning over the arm of my chair. Good. Some of it was a little odd to me, but I enjoyed it. Enjoyed the company better. Comfort food, she said. Like fish and chips flipper pie. You'll get used to it. In time you'll come to love it. Her voice dropped lower. They grill you about last night? About drinking like I did? About where you slept? She murmured, blushing. Not a word. She grinned. Lucky you. She took a long sip of her beer, and I noticed she was already a little tipsy. I wonder if the grilling had gotten to her. I was a little surprised when the neighbors came by, dragging over their own chairs. I got a brief introduction as our crowd grew to more than 20 people, not counting the small ones, who seemed to be running about on the back of the property. I was less surprised when a couple of guitars, an old ukulele, and a squeeze box were brought out. One of the guitars was stuck in my hands. Time for the runner and waiter show. Jeff laughed. The name confused me for a minute, until he nodded toward me. The runner. Then toward Ronnie. The waiter. I'm sure my face turned as red as Ronnie's. We sang a few newfie tunes and some of the more popular songs. I was taking it easy, no cheating songs for once. I was in too good a mood to go down that path. My turn around the circle, Janie asked me to sing her song. Your song, which until a couple of days earlier had always been Beth's. I got a poke in the ribs when I hit the power chords and started singing Janie's Got a Gun. Janie's Got a Gun. I earned a laugh from the crowd before I started the song she wanted. When I finished, she sang an Irish tune, in honor of her grandmother, I figured. Not another Gaelic one, she sang Four Green Fields, a sad song I'd heard before. Second time around, I was cajoled into playing Bon Jovi's Wanted Dead or Alive Again. I guess it was a hit in the bar the other night. Janie was acting odd, and passed on singing, shaking her head adamantly until they left her alone. It was a shame. She had the best voice there, by far. Instead, she seemed determined to pound down a few more beers. I was worried about how they'd affect her, weighing all of a buck ten, soaking wet. Everyone seemed to be having a good time, although I saw more than a few worried glances cast Janie's way. Next time around, I tried to pick up her mood a bit. I turned to face her. It's late in the evening, she's wondering what clothes to wear. She puts on her makeup and brushes her long blonde hair. And then she asks me, "Do I look all right?" And I say, "Yes, you look wonderful tonight." I realized I might have overdone it when I was singing the end of the chorus. And the wonder of it all is that you just don't realize how much I love you. Her eyes teared up, and I felt a moment's shame. Like I was leading her on. Luckily, it was a popular song, and I wasn't alone singing it. She stood when I was finished, with a determined look on her face. She walked over to Ronnie, a bit unsteadily. She whispered to him, and he shook his head. I almost laughed when she grabbed his shirt in her fists and growled something into his ear. He finally nodded, and I thought he looked embarrassed. She turned around, a mischievous smirk on her face, staring at me. Ronnie counted down, whatever they were playing. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, hey. Hey. You. You. I don't like your girlfriend. No way. No way. I think you need a new one, hey. Hey. You. You. I could be your girlfriend, hey. Hey. You. You. I know that you like me, she was dancing around, as if she was in the Avril Lavigne video, extending her arms, pointing her fingers at me. I saw the looks of surprise and shock on the faces around. I'm certain my face was beet red. Janie ended, holding onto the arms of my chair, singing into my face. You know it's not a secret, hey. Hey. You. You. I want to be your girlfriend. She stood up smirking, and gave me a little curtsy, before taking her seat again. The place had gone dead quiet. I heard Jeff suddenly laugh loudly. He sang, pearly I might add, I guess it's not a secret. That got quite a few chuckles. Her mother, Mary, stood up and took Jane by the hand. She pulled her upright. Mary Jane Chafe. This way. Jane looked over at me, rolling her eyes, grabbing her beer before she could be dragged away and read the riot act. As soon as she was in the house, a regular babble of sound ensued. There was laughing and teasing. Nanny seemed oblivious. I thought it was a fun song, she said. Ronnie was apologizing. She had me by the short and curlies. Sorry about that. Uncle Luke was giving me the stink eye. She's not the kind of girl to be trifled with, honor, he said simply. I felt like I'd been publicly flogged. No, sir. I wouldn't do that. She's special, you know. She's made me feel better than I have in months. There is something between us, but we've both been clear that it can't go anywhere. Not yet. I have a wife, even if she is a cheating slut. I have children, responsibilities. Maybe someday, if I can ever clean up the mess of my life, but for now we're just friends. I noticed several people were paying a lot more attention to what I was saying than I cared for. Uncle Luke wasn't done with me. I'm not so sure she feels the same way. She wears her heart on her sleeve, and she's been hurt before. Don't do it, Honor. Don't break her just because you can. She's better than that. She's the best of us. She deserves better, God knows. His sincerity wounded me. I'd never want to hurt her, sir. Just the opposite. I'd do anything to avoid that. At the same time, I can't deny she's only the second woman in my life I've had these kinds of feelings for. The noise was picking up, and Ronnie seemed determined to make up for his contribution to the mess by starting up some playing again. Uncle Luke just nodded.
I know you'll do right. I've said my piece. I'll do right.
Isn't that what it always comes down to? Uncle Darren took over Janie's seat when she didn't return immediately. I was starting to figure out the relationships. It turned out he was Jeffrey's father, and his brother, Daryl, was the father of Lena, who was part of my welcome group after my first morning waking up at Diane's house. It was all pretty confusing. Darren was interested in talking about my company again, and we soon had an animated conversation going. Jeffrey, Daryl, and young Luke were arguing the benefits, especially in northern climes. They didn't think the savings were worth the investment.
Think all you want. Over 60% of my business comes from states that border Canada. A third of our international business comes from Scandinavian countries. Not only do most homes recoup their investment in less than 7 years, but with tax breaks, it's often five or less. Even more important than efficiency is the fact that it's effective. Homes are more comfortable, I argued.
I've got the numbers to prove it if you want to see. Darren felt otherwise. Nobody wants to spend thousands of dollars today in order to get it back 10 years from now.
There's no vision. It just doesn't work that way.
I nodded.
In part, you're right.
That's why I mostly work with builders. Luxury homes and upscale planned communities are where I do best. The cost gets rolled into the mortgage, and the savings last forever. Over the life of a 30-year mortgage, the savings equal 5 times the investment. It's a no-brainer.
Of course, the conversation turned to the inevitable.
Competition.
If it was that good, why isn't everyone doing it?
Young Luke asked.
I grinned.
More will be soon. I have several patents, without which the efficiency would drop by a third, making it 10 years or more to pay for itself. I've just sold one of those to a Fortune 100 company, so I imagine you'll be hearing a lot more about it.
That sounds like suicide, Daryl said.
It's like me selling off my favorite crabbing spot.
Sure, you'll make a few bucks, but where are you afterward?
What if you had a much better crabbing spot?
Bigger, sweeter, and lots more of them?
I teased. Would you mind selling off your old one for a check in the millions? That started the discussion on my new patents, which of course led to the fact that I'd walked away from my old company without giving them over. By then, I'd finished off 2 more beers, and I wasn't holding much back.
They had it made.
A monopoly. Best pay and benefits in the business. But they decided to screw me over. I don't take betrayal well. Let's see how they do when they have to compete on even ground, without me paving the way, inventing new solutions, finding new customers, and ensuring the quality of our product was the best in the business.
They're on their own now.
You're talking family's honor.
What did you say, more than 200 people?
You're just going to abandon them? Darren asked, looking concerned.
You don't get it. They abandoned me.
Chose her over me. All but a handful of the people who worked for me knew what was going on. I could have destroyed them.
I didn't.
I gave them the business.
Everything.
They have the product and the customers.
A strong brand.
They won't have it easy. I'm not there to babysit them and feed them with a silver spoon. They're going to have to work to stay competitive.
It's up to them now.
But without the patents, Jeffrey said.
They had 6 weeks' notice.
They could have built up a 2-year inventory of the critical boards. Plenty of time to find some new way to be competitive.
It's up to them.
Uncle Luke was listening without adding much.
He did then.
You don't think they will though, do you?
Honestly, how much time do you give them?
The crowd quieted.
6 months as they were going.
6 months before they'd have to start laying people off.
4 months if they don't take the advice I gave them when I left.
Maybe a year, if they do everything right.
From what I hear, it's more likely 4 months than a year.
It's already been over 2 months, and it's not looking good, I explained.
And then?
Uncle Luke asked.
I shrugged.
They fold. 50 people unemployed, 3 local businesses lose their biggest customer, and 10 million less being pumped into the community every year. Pretty costly choice on their part.
But you could stop it, Darren said.
I could, but at what cost?
I worked my ass off for them, and what did it get me?
I gave them everything I had. I don't have anything left to give.
They destroyed me.
Look at me now, drinking beer 1,000 miles from home, because I can't stand the sight of them.
Even my mother, damn it!
My own mother covered up that slut's cheating.
No, I'm not willing to make the effort it would take.
What's the upside?
They're rewarded for betraying me, and I get back on the soulless treadmill and spend my life working for a bunch of ungrateful traitors.
Fuck em. I felt a pair of arms slide down in front of me, from behind.
Leave him alone.
You don't know half the story.
They don't deserve him,
Janie said, her head appearing next to mine.
Uncle Darryl nodded.
We're not faulting him, Jane. It's hard to imagine what it would be like to stand in his shoes.
But it's family.
How would you feel if everyone at the party the other night was unemployed overnight?
Everyone.
And it's even bigger than that.
When's the last time you spoke to Uncle Bill?
Jane snapped.
How about the blow-up you guys had over selling the pond property?
That was over a few dollars.
How about when Uncle Tom wanted to buy into your boat?
Since when is family all that matters?
They had other options.
It wasn't their entire livelihood.
So do his people.
He gave them a chance.
Gave them the business, and almost all the money.
He deserves to be happy, don't you think?
Would you want to spend your life helping people who betrayed you?
I know I wouldn't, Janie argued.
The conversation took a tangent at that point, and she came around and sat on the arm of my chair, her legs across mine, her arm around my neck. I put my arm around her waist. Everyone started talking about happiness, what it meant, and how you chose your own happiness. I don't know if I agreed with them. Too many other people have input. If you wanted to control your own happiness, you couldn't afford to let anybody else in your life, certainly not in your heart. A few of the people started saying their goodbyes and our crowd dwindled. The neighbors moved on and the grandparents moved indoors, but not before I could thank them again for the dinner. In the end, there were only about 8 of us left outside, telling stories, enjoying the cool night air. Janie had moved off the arm of the chair, and onto my lap, cuddled into me for warmth. I looked up and saw one of the brightest falling stars I'd ever seen.
Did you see that? I whispered to Jane. Make a wish, she replied, closing her eyes.
I didn't know what to wish for. More nights like that one. To be with my kids again. To turn back time. In the end, I made it simple. Happiness, I thought. I wish to be happy again.
It's getting late, I told her. Are you ready to go? She chuckled.
Nanny would skin the hide off of every last one of us if we let you drive. She's taken a liking to you, Honor.
You've got the family room couch.
We do have to get up pretty early. I've got work to go to in the morning. With no pressing timetable, we hung out a little longer, watching for falling stars, and talking about dreams, the future, things we wanted to do. When there were only 4 of us left, we called it a night. I was shown my way to the couch, stripped off my shoes and socks, and had little doubt I'd sleep soundly. My belly was full, and I'd had more than enough beers to knock me out pretty quickly. I woke, crowded, with Jane's back to me and my arm asleep where she was resting her head on it. I pulled her close, turning my head to get her hair out of my face, and pressing my cheek to hers. I was embarrassed to have a raging hard on, pressing against her soft bottom.
Mmm.
She purred, grasping my arm in hers, and wiggling back against me.
Good morning, beautiful. I whispered.
Sure.
Just a little longer.
She mumbled. I heard movement in the house. We were in a room 4 steps down from the main level, and the light was streaming in through the windows.
You gonna get in trouble for being here?
I asked. I felt her stiffen up.
Crap. I just came down to say goodnight after I peed.
I laughed and let her go. She turned and gave me a quick kiss. We weren't alone in the room. Ronnie was on the other couch, and Jeffrey was snoring in the fully reclined armchair. Jane took a quick look around and tiptoed away. I wondered where she was supposed to be sleeping. I was fully awake by then and sat up, slowly putting on my socks and shoes. I arranged the pillows, folded the blanket, and went in search of the bathroom. As soon as I made my appearance, I was greeted and I almost laughed. There was no way that Janie made it through there without being seen. Nanny appeared to be in charge of the kitchen. She was at the stove, scrambling up what must have been a dozen eggs. I moved in behind her and gave her a kiss on the cheek.
Morning, Nanny, I said.
She gave me a grin, then a smack with her spoon.
Sit. Grab something to drink.
The table had only a few people sitting there. Uncle Luke, and either Daryl or Darren, I wasn't sure which, and was hovering nearby, so I figured it was likely her husband Daryl. A plate with a scoop of eggs, 2 pieces of toast, and a sausage link was placed in front of me. Uncle Luke looked like he was eating leftovers from the previous night's dinner. I poured myself a cup of coffee. Uncle Daryl pushed a bottle of aspirin my way. I shook out 3, thanking him. I guess he was still thinking about our business conversation about the night before.
You have that patent of yours. You thinking about starting over on your own?
He asked.
Hadn't given it much thought yet.
It's a possibility. Don't know if I'd want to do it back home again, I said, between the bites of the sandwich I'd made of the eggs and toast.
Uncle Luke spoke up.
Maybe it's time you give it some thought. From what you were saying, I don't imagine they have much longer before it's too late.
He looked at me an uncomfortably long time.
Can't tell you what to do, but you need to ask yourself, who's the better man? How will you feel, destroying 50 families, kin of yours, and an entire community? I wonder how they feel, destroying my life.
I said, probably with more bitterness than I should have.
He took a long sip of the cup of tea he had in front of him. I figure they're probably feeling rotten. I know I would be. People make mistakes, Honor. We all do. I know I've made my share.
Nanny appeared behind me, setting a bowl of eggs on the table.
Lord knows that's the truth.
She laughed. She rubbed my hair, so much like my uncle had that it gave me shivers.
Leave the lad alone. It's some holy show, what they did to him. When it's time, he'll do right.
Jane came in, as pretty as a Sunday morning, and grabbed a piece of the toast, nibbling on it.
Can't stay, Nanny. We're running late.
I crammed the last of the impromptu sandwich into my mouth but was too slow to catch my coffee before Jane picked it up and took a sip.
She put it down next to me.
Ready? She asked. I didn't know if she was in that big a hurry, or just wasn't up to facing another inquisition. I downed the last of my glass of water then took a sip of the coffee. Jane had already taken my plate away and was rinsing it in the sink. I wouldn't have minded relaxing a bit and giving the aspirin a little more time to work their magic, but it wasn't worth fighting over. I stood.
Thanks again for dinner and breakfast. Bye, Nanny, Grandpa. See you later, Uncle Darren. Jane said with a kiss on the cheek for Uncle Luke.
Crap. I had it wrong. I could have sworn it was Daryl.
Honor, if you got nothing doing today, perhaps you could stop by this afternoon.
Darren said.
Where?
I asked. Right across from Lena's place. Jane will show you.
I'll do that.
No plans, but I have to take care of a couple of things this morning. How about after lunch?
Whenever.
You're welcome anytime. I managed to escape after that and make it out to the bike.
You were in a hurry.
I teased. If I stayed any longer, they'd put me to work. I would like to get cleaned up before work, and not go in smelling like a brewery. Her car was at the hotel and I dropped her off there. I got a nice warm kiss out of it.
See you tonight?
She asked. I figure I'll be around. Should I meet you somewhere?
Give me a call around 6.
Let me know where you're at. I realized I didn't have her phone number, and it took a few minutes before she had put it in my phone.
It works here?
She asked.
It works everywhere.
I do a lot of international business.
Of course.
She gave me another peck. I'm not the only one that could use a shower. She giggled, scrunching up her nose.
Hint taken.
I made a lazy morning of it, taking a nap in my seldom used bed. I took a long shower and left my dirty clothes in one of the hotel laundry bags to be cleaned. I checked in at the desk to make sure there were no issues since I'd only been using the bed 1 night in 3.
No messages, and no complaints.
Sitting at the desk in my room, I checked in with Aunt Jean and made sure everything was going well. I gave her the invoice for the house decorator, and she assured me she'd take care of it. She quizzed me about returning, but I wasn't ready to commit to anything.
You know your daughter's birthday is in 3 weeks. You'll be here for that.
Yes, I haven't forgotten. I assured her. I doubt I'll be more than another week to 10 days. It's a good 3 days minimum motorcycle ride, including the ferry. She was quiet. I don't want to pressure you, Honor, but Beth isn't doing well. If you could spare a few moments for her, it would go a long way. I plan to talk to her in just a little while. I had a short talk with Roger Hammond, just to let him know I was alive. There was an hour and a half difference between St. John's and Bedenton, so I figured Marie would be back from Montessori. Carol answered the Skype call.
Honor? How are you doing?
Good.
Better.
Is Marie around and will she talk to me?
She's here, and I'll make sure she talks to you.
Beth and you are too easy on the girl, she's a handful, and spoiled rotten.
I laughed.
Like you were better with BB at that age?
She grinned.
Maybe not.
As least I learned.
Can I chat with you afterward?
Of course.
In case you're wondering, I plan on calling Beth after this call.
That would be wonderful.
She's been terribly down in the dumps the last couple of days. The worst since I got here. I'm sure she'd love to hear from you. Let me go grab Marie.
Marie had done a 180 since my last attempt. She was eager to tell me all about school and her new friends. I barely got a word in edgewise until the end.
Come home, Daddy. She pleaded.
Soon, Angel.
I promise.
Just a few more days, all right?
I miss you.
I miss your stories.
I miss you tucking me in.
She pouted.
I miss it too.
I love you, and I'll see you soon.
When?
Tomorrow?
I can't make it that soon. It takes several days to get home. I'm a long ways away, on an island.
Maybe this weekend.
I said. It was the first time I really gave myself a timetable. But that will be our secret, okay? I want it to be a surprise.
She brightened up.
Promise?
I looked at her, so eager, and there was no way I could disappoint her any longer.
No later than Sunday, all right?
I promise.
Her little brother was with her. They usually talk to me together.
Well, she talked, but I like to see him, and talk to him.
He was speaking a few words, and when he pointed at the screen and said "Dida," I knew I'd been gone too long. Marie gave her brother a hug.
Daddy's coming home. She told him.
She ran off with the tablet, the camera wobbling all over the place, showing the floor, ceiling, and walls until it steadied and I was looking at Carol again.
Thanks for keeping things together.
I told her.
I bet Dave is some pissed at me.
She shook her head.
I think you're the only one he's not pissed at. He said he might drive up next weekend since it looks like I may never get home. I promise, it won't be that much longer.
I needed this, Carol. It's been good for me.
I haven't made up my mind on anything yet, but my head's in a better place. If Dave wants to come up, I'll buy him a ticket. It's the least I can do.
That would be nice.
He's talking to Beth again.
That's a start.
You're really going to call her?
As soon as I finish with you.
She gave me a big smile.
Goodbye, Honor.
Tomorrow?
Around this time.
The screen went blank. I braced myself for a possibly difficult call and dialed Beth.
Honor? Is that you?
She answered.
You recognize my number?
Mom called when you were talking to our girl.
How are you doing, Beth?
I've been better.
You?
There was no excitement in her voice.
Improved. I'm sorry I left so abruptly. I'm feeling a lot better.
I bet.
She said.
So are you planning on ever returning? Or are you settled down for good?
I won't be much longer.
I needed this.
I miss the kids terribly.
She sighed loudly.
Not the slut wife though, right?
Of course I miss you.
You were the love of my life for over 20 years.
I just don't know how to handle this.
Well, you sure showed me, didn't you?
You fucked me good.
I guess that's the last good fucking from you I should expect.
Her attitude was getting to me. Now it was all my fault?
I think this call was a mistake.
I said.
Wow. That's something new.
Perfect Honor, admitting to a mistake.
She sneered.
I'll admit I've made a few.
Some doozies. Trusting my wife to remain faithful, that was a big one. The whole marrying my childhood sweetheart, ouch.
Go ahead. Try to hurt me. I deserve it, right? I'm a disgusting, horrible person and don't deserve to live.
A terrible wife and mother.
Despicable. Believe me, I've heard it all.
Was there any reason for this call, Honor?
No, I guess not.
I won't bother you. I imagine you have work to do.
She hung up without saying goodbye.
My good mood dissipated during the call. I was glad to be going back to see my kids, and even happier that I had my own place to live in.
I called Aunt Jean back. She left.
That was quick. I just have a few more things. Contact Carol, and see about getting her husband Dave a round-trip ticket to come and visit.
Got it.
Airplane ticket for Beth's dad. Also, could you stock my refrigerator with the perishables on Friday? Eggs, milk, butter, some fruit and salad fixings. Steaks, ground beef, bread dash, I got it. I know what goes in a refrigerator.
You coming back?
This weekend, I think. I'd like that to remain between us.
Of course.
Your business is nobody's but your own. You're going to love your house. It's gorgeous on the inside.
Thanks.
Send Carol some flowers, telling her thanks for everything.
Again?
She chuckled. She just got some Saturday.
I laughed.
All right, never mind. Chocolates, midweek? I'll get her one of those fruit bouquets.
She paused briefly.
I didn't want to step on your toes with your mother.
Anything for her?
No. I don't think so. I'm not in the mood to reward her for her behavior.
I heard a sigh. That seemed to be all too common.
She is your mother, Honor. She watched my kids so my wife could cheat on me. In my book, that's pretty unforgivable.
Fine. Great. Now she was pissed at me as well.
Aunt Jean, if you have a problem with this, let me know. I'll find someone else to do it.
No, I'm fine. I'm not about to give up the only job in town.
I'll do whatever you ask.
It's not the only job in town.
I said. Maybe not today, but a month from now.
Is there anything else?
No, I think that's all. I'll email you if I've forgotten anything.
Goodbye.
I didn't even wait for her response. Between her and Beth, I wasn't in the mood for any more bullshit. A light lunch outdoors helped a little, and I rode over to Lena's since I'd forgotten to get directions for Darren's place. She welcomed me in and forced a cup of tea on me before telling me where to go. I learned from Lena her father worked at the jail, alternating 4 12-hour shifts, then 3 days off, with 3 12-hour shifts and 4 days off. His seniority gave him his weekends free. I guess it wasn't a bad gig. I was used to 5 12 to 14-hour days, and usually a half day on Saturdays. I was determined that was one thing I'd be changing. Darren welcomed me to his home, and then stuck a soda in my hand.
She grinned.
I don't allow no drinking here before dark during the week.
Works for me.
I assured her. It turned out Darren had an agenda. He had his son Jeffrey there, as well as Ronnie and another uncle I'd seen around, but hadn't had a chance to talk to. Tom was Darren's cousins. Another of Grandma's sister's kids. Grandma was one of 11, so there were enough of them around. They wanted to talk business. All about what I did, and how it would work in Canada. What it would take to get it started. I didn't want to burst their bubble, but it wasn't an easy business to get into. Especially if you didn't have contacts within the building industry. I talked to them about specializing in particular components of what we did. I quizzed them on the engineering talent necessary, and they bragged about their local college, Memorial University of Newfoundland, one of the top 5 universities in all of Canada. They had a comprehensive engineering school, with a co-op program where students were required to work 4 terms, so interns were readily available. It was about an hour into the discussion, and they seemed a little less enthusiastic by that time. I had an idea. I wasn't sure I wanted to follow through with it. It was more than the people back home deserved. It took me a few minutes to think it through, and I realized I was ignoring everyone else, and they had gone quiet, waiting for me.
I need a minute, all right? Let me think through something.
Darren nodded.
Of course.
Take your time. I grabbed another soda and walked outdoors. It was cool, as was typical even in summer. The crisp air, gorgeous skies, and sweet-smelling breezes were what I needed. I was still running through different scenarios and the ramifications of each when Ronnie plopped down beside me.
Ignore me,
he said. I needs a break from their pipe dreams. He leaned back in his chair and soaked up the sun. I think I had a solution, which fit many of my own desires. It was something that I'd never thought of before, but the more I considered it, the sounder it seemed. It was unlike me to act on impulse, especially about something so major, but I was tired of being grounded, predictable.
Uncle Tom, what exactly does he do?
Ronnie was slow in responding.
Mostly AC and heating repair.
Some new installations.
How big is his company?
I asked.
Just him and Uncle Bobby own it.
4 guys working for him, and Aunt Joni takes the calls and does the books.
Lots of engineers around St. John's?
They don't stick around much. Move on to Toronto, or Ottawa. Some go to Labrador, Calgary, or even Vancouver.
The uni graduates a lot.
Let's go back in.
This might work.
He gave me an odd look, but grabbed his drink and followed me back indoors. I offered my suggestion. They would build the controllers that were the key component of my company's energy solutions. They would use my patents, including the 2 newest ones. They would be allowed to provide full solutions across Canada, and my company would supply the additional components they would need. In return, they would manufacture and supply the control boards, exclusively to my company in the US. We would have a non-compete agreement for the rest of the world. I would get most of Europe, places I already had inroads to. They could have the Pacific Rim and South America. I expected them to have an office in Vancouver, within 3 years, to deal with the Asian business. They had a lot of questions, of course. I had answers for most of them. It was up to them to decide who would own and manage the company, but I would get 40% in exchange for the patents and $500,000 of startup capital. I would also send them at least one experienced engineer to help them get going. They would be pressed for time. If we were going to do it, we had to get started almost immediately, and I wanted new controller units within 6 months, preferably sooner. The controller units are a guaranteed business. You can sell them to other companies, just not for use in the US or Europe. My company alone will give you enough business to employ 6 people minimum. 6 months is damn fast, Tom said. I know. I'll help. I'll visit regularly, and we can have conference calls. I'll provide a good engineer to work with you. It's definitely doable, I just don't know anything about doing business in Canada. We don't need to worry immediately about a ton of legal paperwork. Your family, I expect you not to screw me. Darren nodded, perhaps a little irritated I would even bring it up. That won't be an issue. We're not like that old crowd of yours. My word's as good as yours. I would put off any other business until the controller division is off the ground. With that in place, you'll have a technology advantage over anyone else. If I come up with any new ideas in that particular area, they'll go to you. Do you think it's workable? Long term, what are we talking, business-wise? Darren asked. If you have the success I imagine you could, within 5 years, you could be employing 30 to 40 people here, and another dozen in Vancouver. It won't be easy, but I'll be working with you, and I have a little experience in this area. That's a lot of people, that quickly, Tom said. I started by myself, on a shoestring, with weaker patents. In 7 years I employed 50, and could have employed more if I wasn't controlling the growth so carefully. Over 10 million last year. Can we talk about it? Darren asked. Of course. Just remember, the sooner the better. I'll be leaving in a few days, and I'd like to see it off the ground before I leave. We could never get the paperwork done by then. Tom argued. Fuck the paperwork. I need a plan and a promise. I'll give you the money and the patent. Tell me you'll do it, and then get started. Of course, that didn't solve all the issues. The biggest one was, I needed to start a new company when I got back home. As far as I was concerned, the only company was dead. I wasn't going to make it that easy for everyone. No friggin' way. I left them to talk it out and unstrapped my little guitar from its permanent home on the back of my bike. I borrowed a beer from Ann, assuring her I wouldn't drink it in the house. Then I went outside, enjoyed the air, and noodled on my sixth string. I was interrupted a few times with questions, which I answered to the best of my ability. They were good questions, and they made me feel better about my impromptu decision. What's that you're playing? I looked up from my introspection and Ronnie was peering at me. Nothing, really. Something I was working on, while on a long hike about a month ago. I like it. It's original? I nodded. You got more words than that chorus you keep mumbling? I did, but it was difficult to share them. They were intensely personal. Ronnie took a runner and returned with a guitar from the house. Everyone around here have a guitar? He laughed. In this family, B? I led him through the chords for the verse and picked out the melody for him. No place to go, no home to go back to, no destination on my mind, where do you go when your abandoned love and betrayal left behind? Not the happiest song ever. You really are a sook, you know. Ronnie laughed. Sorry. It's not been the best summer for me. No need to apologize, remember? I'm the waiter. I understand. Lost at sea without an anchor, flying blind, no telling up from down, broken heart, black with rancor, someone save me before I drown. He worked the music with me and made it better. It seemed easy for him, after I'd spent dozens of hours playing around with the tune. It's Nuff, you know, he said. Nuff? How? The new way. It's a blend of traditional with modern. Something great Big C would play. You say you wrote this before arriving, B? Yeah, hiking the Appalachian Trail. He laughed. Just goes to prove. You're a damn Nuff whether you likes it or not. Honor the Newfoundland. He worked out a nice intro with me, and we were only interrupted twice more. I heard the voices getting more animated indoors. The next time they sent Jeffrey out, I told him I wasn't answering any more questions with a parched throat. He got me a beer, and he got his answer. You knows, we'll have to play this tonight. Tonight? I don't think so. I'm not ready to bare my soul to anybody else. You have to. They're going to want some original stuff. You can only play the same power ballad so many times. Trust me. Who's they? Another kitchen party? I knows, I told ya. We're going back to the pub, by popular demand. You told me nothing, B. He looked at me confused. I swears I did. Last night. You weren't that far gone. If he did, I had no recollection of it. Sorry. I don't remember it. Things were kind of hectic. He grinned. No kidding. I thought for sure they were going to lock Janie up in her room if she got any more brazen. I wanna be your girlfriend. He sang. I'm sure I blushed. I wasn't trying to lead her on. Hell, we knows that. It is what it is. So what else do you have that we could play? As it was, I did have one other song. Actually, a pretty good pub song, I thought. And not near as maudlin. Once again, Ronnie worked his magic, although it took him a while longer, and we had a few more interruptions. Still, by the time he was finished, and we played it through a couple of times, I was surprised at how much of a difference it made. Like night and day. I told him so.
Shit.
He mumbled.
There's nothing to it. You already did the hard part. All I did was polish it a bit.
So it's true you can polish a turd? Any reply on his part was cut off when Jeffrey showed up again, saying I was required inside. As soon as I walked in, both men stood up. Uncle Darren stuck out his hand.
We'd love to partner with you on this, Honor. Starting as soon as you're willing.
Tom joined him in shaking my hand.
We know you're taking a big chance on us. He said. We won't let you down.
I know. I replied. We can open a bank account tomorrow, and I'll have the initial funds transferred in. It shouldn't take more than a couple of days. I'll leave the patents with you, and see if I can't find a way to send an engineer up this way by the end of next week. I'm planning on heading back by the end of the week, and we'll start working on things from the other end. In the meantime, I hope you'll pull together the business elements.
Darren nodded.
We can do that. Damn, this should be an interesting ride. He said with a big grin.
That it will be.
I said. That night we were back on George Street, playing again. Janie was there when I arrived. Ronnie called and let me know where you'd be. She said. I'd be home alone if I waited for your call. There was a bit of a sting in her words. I didn't know where we were going until we got here a few minutes ago. Ronnie said it was a surprise. I don't know why. It's not like I know one of these places from another. She gave Ronnie a quick glare before grabbing my arm. Second biggest dance floor in the area. It's not where new bands usually get their start. We're not a band, Janie. Just two guys singing a few songs. Did you even see the sign outside? The Runner and Waiter Show, with Honor the Newfoundland. Are you blind? The banner's a good 5 feet tall. I guess I was blind. She laughed at my stunned look.
Don't sweat it, Honor. Just have a good time. Do what you've been doing. You'll be great.
Great.
Right. I think I need to talk to Ronnie.
She laughed as I wandered off look for one more family member I needed to kill. Damn if he wasn't helping some guy set up his drum set on the stage.
What the hell is going on, Ronnie?
Setting up. He said.
We're the band for the night. And now we have a drummer? What else is going on here that I don't know about?
He just shrugged, glancing over to the side, and I saw that his on-again-slash-off-again girlfriend was watching us.
Not much to tell, B. Greg the owner's a friend. He offered to let us play here.
It's a good gig, and it even pays, if not much.
Free drinks all night for the band. People want to hear us. You can't be letting them down.
Damn it, Ronnie. We haven't even practiced.
And now a drummer?
Pete's good. I've played with him plenty. He can play along to anything. We'll be fine. It's not that big a deal, not much different than the other night.
The other night that had me passed out, and in Janie's bed the next morning?
I reminded him. Is you complaining now, B?
I thinks you'd be grateful. Stop worrying, Dot. I hate to say it, but Ronnie was right. We played 3 sets, 2 of them to a packed house. Janie joined us on stage for about a third of our songs, and she was incredible. I guess she was pretty well known. Every time she joined us, the crowd near took the roof off of the place before she even opened up her mouth. Ronnie must know half of St. John's. Every half dozen songs he'd drag someone onto the stage, spout some history they had, and we'd have a guest singer or musician for a couple of songs. The crowd was raucous, drinking hard, singing loud, and dancing wildly. It didn't seem to matter that there was no rhyme or reason to our songs, no theme. They were just out to have a good time. We did end up playing both of the songs I'd written, and I was surprised and pleased that they went over well. During the 3rd set we were even asked to do an encore of the 2nd of them. The Runner and Waiter song which Ronnie and I had reworked before the show. Drink a beer, bend an ear, I got a story you should hear. About a guy and a girl, how she rocked his simple world. It was love, it was fate, when they went on their 1st date. Everyone knew it was meant to be, their love was plain for all to see. Should I wait, should I wait, should I run, do I tell her that it's over, do I tell her that we're done? Should I run, should I wait, tell me how long does it take, to turn my love into hate? Hearing the crowd echoing the 1st 2 lines of each part of the chorus was a rush. A couple of 100 people screaming out your words, dreams and heartache. I'll admit I was more than a little tipsy through the 3rd set. Janie was on stage with us, as well as Ronnie's girl, standing in back and playing some weird-shaped tambourine. Janie was at least as tipsy as me and I was getting a nice little bit of affection from her. To be honest, I felt great. Incredible. People were clapping, cheering, calling out songs to play. On many of them I was just along for the ride, following Ronnie's lead. That didn't seem to matter. There were pretty young girls in the crowd, staring at me with stars in their eyes.
Damn you, Honor.
Janie whispered in my ear, standing behind me with her arms around my waist.
Don't be giving them sluts no hopes. You're taken, twice over I'll remind you.
At least she said it with a smile in her voice.
Jealous?
I teased, putting my guitar down for a mini break, halfway through the 3rd set.
Seriously? I'm supposed to be jealous of an old fart with a hairy ugly mug who's half-tone deaf? A married man with children who God knows would never cheat on his wife, no matter how easy those sluts are. An unemployed yank from away? Jealous?
She gave me a pinch.
Let's see who's jealous. There's a few studs out there who have been giving me the eye.
She turned to walk away and squealed when I yanked her back into my arms and laid a big old kiss on her that had the crowd screaming. She was blushing mightily when I let her go.
I loves ya, ducky. Ya knows I do. I told her in my best Nifanese. Her smile was a bit sad.
I knows you do, honor. But it's not enough now, is it?
I was holding her in my arms, staring down into her captivating eyes.
I need time, Janie. You know my situation.
She shrugged it off with a laugh.
I know, honor. So now it looks like there's two waiters in the runner and waiter band. But I won't wait forever.
She pulled out of my arms, took my hand and dragged me off stage, where beers were awaiting us, direct from the owner's hand. Ronnie was standing by his side.
I knew it, he said, grinning. When I saw you the other night, I knew you'd be a hit. We have to make this a regular thing.
I looked over at Ronnie, who looked like the bird that ate the canary. I couldn't help but notice his girl was at his side, clinging to him like a barnacle.
We'll talk.
Ronnie will get back to you, I said.
He didn't look especially pleased by my response, but he slapped me on the shoulder.
Do that. We can talk about money then. I'm sure we can come to a deal.
It wasn't time for the discussion with Ronnie. But we would be talking. I didn't like being blindsided. We finished our set and the place was still 2/3 full. We even did an encore for 2 songs before I begged for it to end. I was exhausted, completely shot, and could barely talk. While Pete was taking down his gear, I cornered Ronnie.
We need to talk.
So talk, B.
I'm all ears. Pretty sweet gig, eh? I hope you're not planning any more surprises. You know I can't stay. I'm leaving in a couple of days. I have to go back and deal with things, I said.
His eyes told me the story.
For fuck's sake.
He snapped.
You're telling me now? After all I done? They're expecting us next weekend. 2 nights. Top dollar. Don't you think you should have talked to me before making a decision like that? You know I'm not here to stay.
Jesus, B.
Get a clue. But you told Uncle Darren Dash. I told him to get started and I'd come back regularly. Halftime at best, no more than a week or two each time. I'm not saying we can't play, but you have to work with me.
Talk to me.
Don't just go running wild. So when are you coming back, Den?
Any clue? He asked, looking around. It was then that I realized we had a small audience. Janie was standing behind me with 2 beers in her hand. His girl, Rhonda, I had found out her name was waiting for him. A couple of our cousins from the last time out were standing nearby.
I can't tell you now. When I get back home and see what I've got to do, I can call you and give you a tentative schedule. Figure at least 3 weeks before I'm back.
He looked disappointed, but nodded.
Fine. We'll work with that. Don't leave me hanging, honor.
I won't.
I promise I'll give you a schedule as soon as I can.
He nodded and turned away, grabbing his girl.
Janie stepped in front of me and handed me a beer. When were you going to tell me, honor?
I sighed and took a needed drink.
Tonight. I just made the decision after talking to Darren today. My daughter's birthday is in a couple of weeks, and I already told her I'd be back by this weekend. I've to go back. There's a lot of business stuff I need to handle. It's going to be a hellacious few weeks before I can return. But I will be back. In less than a month.
I promise.
I grabbed her arm, pulling her close. All this happened today, the talk with my Marie, the business discussion with Darren and Tom.
You have to believe me, Janie. I'm not hiding anything from you, we just didn't have a chance to talk.
She nodded slowly.
I do believe you, honor.
It still hurts a little.
Promise you'll be back, hopefully with your head on straight?
I promise. As for having my head on straight, we can only hope. I can tell you this, you're the best thing that's happened to me in a long time. I'm not going to forget that.
She moved closer, spilling my beer a little when she kissed me. I mean really kissed me.
It's only going to get better, honor, if you give us half a chance.
Chapter 05.
I knew I'd have a busy day. I had business finances and paperwork to deal with. Preparations to make before heading home. Getting my head on straight to deal with BB and Mom, among others. I'd been pretty lazy lately, going to bed well after midnight, waking up mid-morning, eating and drinking anything I wanted. For once I got up at a reasonable time and ate healthily. Then it was off to the bank to initiate a massive transfer. Darren met me there, and we opened a new account for the business. The wheels had been set and open. We were moving ahead full bore. It felt good, if not a little reckless.
Okay, a lot reckless.
After lunch, I headed back to the hotel for my daily call home. It only took a minute to throw all my plans into disarray. Mrs. D was apparently waiting. The moment I logged in, she was calling out my name.
Honor? Honor, are you there?
I'm here, Mrs. D. I'm only 4 minutes late.
Thank God.
You have to come home. You have to come home now.
She practically shrieked. She looked a mess, hair mussed, dark circles under her eyes. I could swear she'd been crying.
Is it the kids? Did something happen to the Marie or Billy?
I asked. She shook her head vehemently.
No, the children are fine, at least for now.
It's Beth. I was surprised at home much that shocked and disturbed me.
What happened? Is she hurt?
She's gone, honor.
Beth is gone.
I have no idea where.
She left a note.
I don't think she's coming back.
She burst into tears.
Beth was gone. Leaving our kids?
Then it hit me how much I depended on her to care for the children, while I dealt with my issues, practically abandoning them. I felt like shit, for a whole slew of reasons.
What did the note say, Mrs. D?
Please.
And not much.
She said, breaking out a piece of paper.
Here, I'll read it to you.
Mom, I'm sorry, but I just can't do this. I can't do it without honor, and he's not coming back. He's moved on, and I can't blame him. It's all my fault. Once I'm gone, everything will be better, I just know it. I'm an unfit wife and mother, and nothing I do is going to save his company. I can't be responsible for 200 people's welfare. With me out of the picture, honor can come back and fix everything. Please don't look for me. I don't want to be found. I'm sorry to do this to you. Tell honor I'm sorry and that I'll love him forever. I love you and dad, but I just can't handle it anymore. Take care of my babies. All my love, BB. I was stunned. Honor? What are we going to do? I'm coming home. I'll be there as fast as humanly possible, and then I'm going to find BB and drag her ass back home. Please hurry, Honor. Please. My baby is in trouble. I'll do my damnedest. Are the kids around? Yes, do you want to talk to them? Absolutely. Just for a few minutes, I said. I tried to keep it together while I spoke with the kids. They seemed to be no worse for wear. Mrs. D had told them their mother was on travel, just like their dad. As soon as I broke off the call, I went into action. I started with 3 phone calls. I called Darren and Ronnie first, letting them know I was leaving immediately. I didn't give them the details, just that I had an emergency at home and had to leave at once. Then it was the hard call. Honor? Hi, Janie. Can you talk? Give me a minute, and I'll call you right back. She was true to her word. What's so important to call me at work? She asked. She sounded a little irritated. I'm sorry to bother you. I have to leave, like right now. Beth has run off and left the kids with her mother. I have to find out what's going on. I'll be gone a while to deal with the business issues and family stuff. If I can't find her, I don't know how long I'll be gone. The kids have to come first, and I've been derelict ever since her cheating. I've got to fix things. I've got to. I understand, Honor. Do what you have to. Anything I can do? She was taking it better than I thought. I'm headed to the airport and catching the first flight out. I'll charter one if I have to. Could you have someone pick up my motorcycle at the airport? I'll let you know where it's parked, and the key will be under the seat. I can do that. Just let me know when you get there safe, all right? I will. I promise. I'll stay in contact. I love you, Honor. You know that, right? I love you. Did I love her? It was hard to say. I'd only loved one woman in my entire life, and that one since I was a kid. What I felt for Jane wasn't the same as I'd felt for Beth, before the whole cheating fiasco. Yet at the same time, it was different, deeper than I'd felt for any other woman ever. Janie, in my whole life there's only been 2 women that have touched me. You and Beth. My life is a mess right now, but you are my anchor. I'll be back. I love you. But you still love Beth, don't you? That was a tough question. I'll probably always love her. I've been hers since she was 4. She's the mother of my children. But love isn't always enough. I'll be honest, I don't know what the hell's going to happen, but I sure as hell don't want to lose you. You won't, Honor. Go do what you have to and come back to me. Soon. As soon as I can. It wasn't cheap, but I managed to get a couple of flights and a limo that had me back in Bedenton by 10 that night. As the limo pulled in, I texted Janie that I had arrived safe and sound. It was almost midnight back in Newfoundland, so I was a little surprised that I got a response immediately. Thanks for letting me know. Be safe. Good luck. Good night. I was almost bowled over by Mrs. D as soon as I walked in the door. I held her as she cried. I was surprised and a little irritated that my mother and sister were there as well. Find my baby, Honor. Please. Bring her home. Mrs. D sobbed. I'll do my best. I promise. I said. When she pulled away, Mom approached me, but I stepped back. I wasn't ready to make nice with her. Not yet. Maybe not ever. Honor. She said. How can we help? I don't know yet. I take it the kids are asleep? For a little over an hour now. Mrs. D answered. They'll be excited to see you've come home. You are home, aren't you? My sister asked. I certainly didn't owe her an answer, but I figured it was what everyone was wondering. For now. I'm not sure for how long. That's not my biggest concern. Finding BB is. Do we have any idea where she went? Her mother shook her head. None. She left in the middle of the night. She didn't take much, from the looks of things. Her car was gone, and that letter was the only clue. All right. There's not much we can do now, but first thing in the morning we'll start. I'll check accounts, charges, and get a private investigator on it. We'll find her. I had one backpack of gear and waved it. I'm shot. I'm going to clean up and get some rest. Right now I don't want to talk about anything if you don't mind. Once I've gotten the ball rolling tomorrow, we'll see. Mom and Sis looked disappointed, but they got the message. They hugged Mrs. D and forced the same on me. I didn't hug them back. No way. I took a peek in on the kids who were slumbering away, blissfully unaware of what was going on. After that, I opted for a shower, dumped my dirty clothing in the wash, and decided to check on the family accounts. If she was using an ATM card, I might get a clue as to where she was. Logging into the computer, I discovered my first clue. Not of where Beth had been, but why she left. She'd been on YouTube, and her latest video was our first gig. I don't know where she'd gotten the information, but her history was full of videos of my activities. The house party at Diane's where I played while Jane sang. Her little song and dance at the Sunday dinner at Uncle Luke's.
Even my drunken debut the first time we played on George Street.
I guess that's what happens when everyone has a video camera on their phone. I noticed two of them were posted my Ronnie's on again slash off again girlfriend Rhonda, and Jeffrey had posted another couple. I watched the videos, and they were pretty damning. I could see why Beth had told her mother that I had moved on. It sure as hell looked like it. It certainly didn't seem like a guy in mourning over his marriage. The bank accounts weren't any help. They did show a substantial withdrawal from the ATM machine, to the tune of $600 twice. But that was in town, and gave me no clue as to where she'd gone. A check of our credit cards was no more help than the bank accounts. I ran out of ideas to look for, shut things down, and slept in my own bed for the first time in months. I didn't get a chance to sleep in. Not by a long shot. I was awakened by a 4-year-old terror jumping on me. "Daddy's home! Daddy's home!" Marie chanted while using me for her personal trampoline. I guess that's what I get for buying her classic Dr. Seuss books. Hop on Pop had always been one of her favorites. Billy was still sleeping in his crib, so I put little Marie on my shoulders and retrieved my baby boy. Mrs. D showed up in her robe a few minutes later. She looked as exhausted as I felt. "You make coffee," she said, taking Billy out of my arms. "I'll take care of getting this one cleaned up and dressed." "You're an angel," I said. She gave me an odd look. "You wouldn't say that if you knew some of the nasty things I thought about you once Beth disappeared." Of course, Beth's running was my fault. Everything is always my fault. I had hoped for better from Mrs. D. "Did Dave ever come visit?" I asked. She shook her head. "He's coming in at 3. I've got to pick him up. I'll be leaving before 2. Maybe if we get cracking, I'll have some good news for him." Unfortunately, when Mr. and Mrs. D got home, the only good news I had for them was that I had two different investigation agencies working on things. Mom had shown up and was watching the kids. Me, I was doing my best financial forensics looking for any clue. Anything at all. The only thing I'd been able to come up with was a charge for gas headed west toward New York, only about 10 miles out of town. I'd completed a review of her clothing and toiletries. I also searched through our travel gear. She'd only packed one full-size suitcase and one travel case. I wasn't sure how much clothing she'd taken with her, but it didn't look like it was that much. A lot of her toiletries were missing. I'd given Aunt Jean a call letting her know I was back in town and didn't need her to do any grocery shopping. I was staying in our old house for now. I did tell her why I was back, after swearing her to secrecy. I didn't need the whole town knowing that Beth was gone. That proved useless since by mid-afternoon I was fielding call after call asking if I was back for good and offering help with finding Bibi. I'm not sure who blabbed, but it should have come as no surprise. As we'd found out earlier, it's nearly impossible to keep secrets in Bedenton. Dad Daniels was a hard man, old-fashioned. A lot like my father. He rarely showed much emotion. When he walked in the door, he stepped forward and gave me a big hug. When he pulled back, I saw something I never expected. Tears in his eyes. "Are you going to find my daughter, Honor?" he asked, his voice cracking. "If it's humanly possible, Dad, I'll do it. I've got the best people working on it. I'm going to ask you to trust me on this. Bibi's still my wife, the mother of my children, the love of my life for 30 years. I'm going to find her." He stared at me for several long moments before nodding. "That's good. Thank you, son. Tell me what I can do." Mrs. D had him by the arm, clinging to him. "What we can do?" For 3 solid days, all we did was try to hunt down leads, talk to our investigators, brainstorm where Bibi could have gone, and do our best to make life normal for the kids. A lot of people stopped by asking about us, about Beth, about the business. For the most part, Mom did an admirable job of keeping them out of our way. For the most part. One person I never expected to find at my door was Dale. Yes, that Dale. The bastard who'd been banging my wife. He didn't look good, not good at all, and to be honest, that didn't bother me in the least. He'd lost weight, and had a black eye that discolored half of his face. I didn't want to talk to him, but Mom was insistent that I'd want to hear what he had to say. Dale was standing on the porch, looking as nervous as shit. I stepped out and closed the door behind me. "I don't want you in my house." He nodded. "I understand. I guess I'm not your favorite person right now." "No shit, Sherlock. So what's so important? Can we walk?" he asked. "Sure. What the hell, right?" I could always beat him to death with my bare hands afterward. It took a minute of walking through the property before he spoke. "Fred drugged her," he said. "Shit. How? He didn't roofie her or nothing. It wasn't like that. She'd been drinking, and he got her back to the house. You know Beth, she's a complete innocent. I know my wife. I don't think you know her as well as you thought. I'm just telling you what I saw and what I heard from Fred. She was upset, lonely because you were working so much and gone so often. Fred played on that. He was sneaky, slowly working his way with her. Did you know she was smoking pot? Biba? Never." Dale chuckled. "Like I said, I don't think you know her as well as you think. Fred acted like a friend, an understanding buddy. When you left town, he got her drunk, got her high, and slipped her some ecstasy. When she was all but passed out, he pulled a dirty trick. He told me that he was massaging her back when he started talking to her in your voice. You know how he can mimic you. The first time he got to her, she thought it was you. He laughed as he told me how she kept calling him by your name. Motherfucker," I growled. "That's Fred.
If Mom stayed still for 10 minutes, he'd probably bang her. You always see the best in people, Honor. You project your own values on them. Fred is a scumbag. He's my brother, but he's not a good guy. It was a lot to take in. But it didn't explain everything. What you're saying makes sense, but how the hell did he get her a second time? She had to know by then. Oh, Fred is slick. He blamed it on the booze and smoke. Acted all guilty and shit. Apologized repeatedly. It took 3 days to get her drunk and high again, crying in her beer, wondering how she was going to tell you. A little coke, and a cocktail of ecstasy, GHB and God knows what else, had her helpless. He banged her all night and the next morning. She was never straight when he got to her. He had her where he wanted her, needing what he could supply her, what she wanted. He's a real bastard, and he got her hooked just so he could get in her pants. That explains some things, but not everything. How did you get involved? I asked. Dale shrugged. I guess I'm not much better than my scumbag brother. When you went to China, that's when he told me what he'd been up to. Hell man, Beth is the sexiest woman in town, hands down. When I had a chance, I jumped at it. By then, Fred had full control over Beth, between the drugs, and blackmailing her with exposure. She didn't have much choice. At that point she was taking the drugs willingly, just to deal with the guilt. That still leaves a lot unexplained. I said, holding hands in public, how I never noticed any drugs, all sorts of shit. Dale stopped in his tracks. Listen. Honor. I don't know everything, just what Fred told me and what I got involved in. I fucked up, I mean big time. I wish I could undo it, but I can't. Now Fred's gone, and I'm persona non grata around here. I can't get a job. Nobody will have anything to do with me. I've made enemies that I have to avoid now. I helped kill the golden goose, and I'm going to be paying for that for the rest of my life. If you're looking for sympathy from me, you're barking up the wrong tree, Dale. As is, I'm having a tough time not strangling you where you stand. He nodded. I get it. I do. There's no way to take it back, and no way to make it up to you. I'm leaving. I have no future here. Before I left, I wanted you to know, that's all. Beth screwed up, but it wasn't all her fault. If you could forgive her. Maybe someday. I appreciate you talking to me. Now I'd like it if you'd get the hell off my property. The next time I see you, it won't be pretty. He nodded sadly and walked away half the man he used to be. I'm sorry. Was the last thing he said as he climbed into his old beater vehicle. It was a big step down from the previous one I'd blown up. That was the last time I ever saw Dale. That was just fine by me. I did manage to find a few minutes of privacy each day to talk to Jane and keep her up to date on my activities. I also spoke to Darren and realized I needed to find an engineer to send to him. I hated to postpone it, but I wasn't ready to deal with business issues. Not until I'd done all I could about Beth. It was the morning of the fourth day that we caught our big break. I was getting my update from one of the investigators when it hit. Mr. Nolan, we may have a resource that could be of use. No guarantees, of course, but I think it could be useful. Then why aren't we using it already? It'll be expensive. Very. It's not strictly legal. Do it. We're talking a lot of money. My contact wants 20 grand. Just do it, already. I'll transfer you the money immediately. In the future, don't hesitate to use any resource that will help. Do you understand? Yes, sir. If this works, I may have results as early as this evening. Great work. I'll be waiting. I didn't want to get anyone's hopes up and doubted I could hide my excitement from Beth's parents. I made my excuses and decided to do something new. Something that had been nagging me for a while. I drove over to my new house. I have to admit Lewin was a miracle worker. The place was a showpiece. It looked like it should be in a magazine. It wasn't some frilly, modern statement. It had a manly feel to it that made me feel at home. I spent a good hour walking through the place, seeing all she'd managed. I ended up giving Luann a call. Honor Nolan. She laughed. I was wondering if I'd ever hear from you again. You could give a girl a complex. I find that hard to believe. I said. You are amazing. I heard her laugh. I am, aren't I? Not very humble, are you? Just a little bit less than the guy who sticks his name on everything he does. Touché. I just wanted to tell you how happy I am, and how impressed I am with what you did. I also wanted to know if you could do one more little job for me.
I'd love to. She said. Perfect. It's simple enough. I'd like to convert my office, the room I told you was off limits, into a music room. More of a studio. I play guitar, and I've taken up writing music. I'd like a place to do it. Can you handle that? Can I bring in an expert? Whatever you need. I said. Budget? I have no idea what it will cost. I don't figure it will be cheap. I need electronics, soundproofing, and some instruments. A Martin HD28 dreadnought would be nice, maybe. Enough. Email me any specifics, and I'll talk to my guy. I'll go for a rough budget before we do anything.
Same credit card?
Yeah. Let me know if it runs over 30 grand, otherwise just do it.
She chuckled. Did I ever mention I love working with you, Honor? You're the least finicky client I ever had. And you're a frickin' genius, Luann.
I am, aren't I?
Kisses, sweetie. I'll let you know when we're ready to pull the trigger.
It was a much-needed break and distraction. It also reminded me that I didn't want to lose my music again. On the way back to the old house, I stopped by Mom's place and picked up Dad's old guitar.
the one I had learned on and had played all those years ago. It felt good in my hands. I was keeping a promise to myself, playing the house at Pooh Corner for little Marie and Billy. She appeared enthralled, reminding me so much of her mother it hurt. I was finishing up the last verse when the call came in.
"More, Daddy!"
she squealed, laughing. "I have to make a phone call, Precious. We'll play later." The PI had news. Remarkable news.
"How'd you get this?"
I asked. "I can't go into details. I have a guy on the inside at her cell phone carrier. He was able to trace her calls and geolocate her call locations. Thankfully, she never got rid of her phone, even if she did block calls from everyone she knows. How soon until I have that information? I'm emailing it now." As soon as I saw the locations of her calls, I knew it was valid information, and it was time to bring the parents in. It only took a minute to explain what I'd found.
"These locations mean something to you?"
Dad asked.
"They do.
She's following the path I took when I first left. The last call was at Front Royal. She should be hiking through Shenandoah Park right now."
"What are you going to do?"
"Go get her, of course." I didn't leave immediately. I got a little sleep and left at 4 in the morning, so I'd be rested for the upcoming ordeal. I also wanted to avoid the city traffic. It was a 7-hour trip, including a stop at REI to pick up some gear in case I guessed wrong about where she'd be on the trail. A stripped-down Osprey Exos pack, Ultrasil tarp with matching bug tent, rumpled-down blanket, and Neo Air X light pad, along with a few small essentials, gave me all I needed to survive a few days on the trail. At under 6 pounds total, my gear was light enough that I could jog with it. No extra clothing except a spare pair of sock, virtually no amenities, and no cook set. I'd live on energy bars and trail mix. Guessing she'd manage about 20 to 25 miles a day at best, I had a rough idea where she should be. I parked 20 miles past the furthest I figured she may have traveled and headed up the trail in the opposite direction with my fingers crossed. My only concern was the weather. There was a 50-50 chance of a rainstorm, and I wasn't dressed or geared up for it. My Patagonia Houdini windbreaker weighed almost nothing and was just about that good against anything but a light drizzle. I still loved it, one of the few items I kept after my initial hike. Before I headed up the trail, I texted Jane. I let her know I might be out of touch for a couple of days, but I'd catch her up. Then I called Beth's parents and let them know I was on the trail. They sounded anxious, to no surprise. I even got a couple of minutes in talking to the kids. Then I took off. I was setting a hard pace, occasionally jogging. I was familiar with the trail and what I could do. As I was fresh, with super light gear, I knew I could put in a good 40 miles in a day if I had to. I was afraid I'd guess wrong about where she was, with the daylight starting to fade. Instead, I almost literally ran into her. I knew her instantly, even if she didn't recognize me at first. Her head was down, staring at the ground in front of her, and she was trudging along slowly, carrying a pack that was way too big. A couple of young bearded guys were pacing her, trying to talk to her, which she appeared to be ignoring. Standing stock still, I waited while she walked toward me, hunched over, head bent, each step an arduous task. She was only a yard away when I figured my feet appeared in her limited vision. She made a step to go around when I sidestepped to stay in front of her. One of the bozos hoping to get lucky spoke.
"Dude, move!"
Beth finally looked up, and I wished to God I had a camera at that moment. She gasped, jerking backward, taking 3 quick tiny steps before losing her balance and landing on her ass.
"Honor!"
she shrieked before collapsing. Now I don't know what the guys were thinking, but I'll give them some credit. They tried to come to her aid. One stepped in front of me, hands raised, while the other guy tried to help Beth up, pulling on her pack. That part wasn't going too well.
"Guys, thanks for the escort, but I've got it from here,"
I said.
"Says who?"
mouthed the kid in front of me. Obviously not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
"Says me, her husband. Father of her 2 kids."
The guys didn't look 100% convinced but turned toward Beth for confirmation. I figure it could have gone haywire if she denied me. She was still sitting on her ass when she turned to the guys.
"Thank you, but I'm fine now," she said.
They were mumbling at their lost opportunity when I reached down and pulled the monstrosity of a pack off of Beth's back.
How did you find me?"
she asked.
"Jesus, BB. You've been mine for 25 years. Did you really think you could hide from me?"
She sat there, speechless, while I adjusted the straps on my little pack to fit her, before lengthening the straps on her pack. I almost stumbled when I put on her backpack. Damn if that thing didn't weigh at least 40 or 50 pounds. We'd be doing something about that shortly. With her pack in place and adjusted well enough for the moment, I gave her a hand up. She was slow to take my hand.
"I can't believe you're here,"
she whispered.
"I'm not dreaming, am I?"
"No, BB, you're not dreaming."
I brushed off her seat and helped her put on the pack I'd been carrying. You could see her face light up.
"This one doesn't weigh anything."
It was the closest I'd been to her in a long time, adjusting her waist belt, shoulder straps, load lifters and sternum strap. It put me closer to her than I felt comfortable with.
"Let's go, BB. We need to find a place to camp. We have a long march ahead of us tomorrow."
It only took about 15 minutes to find a suitable location. We had hiked in silence even when Beth stepped up beside me and put her hand in mine. Not the smartest thing, with both of us using hiking poles. I wasn't going to put up a fuss. I didn't want her taking off on me.
"Relax," I told her. "Let me get us set up for the night. Then if you want to talk, we can."
"We don't have to. We'll have plenty of time to talk tomorrow."
She took me at my word,
sitting on a log and watching me.
I need to call your parents. They're worried sick. Do you want to talk to them?
She shook her head. Her mother answered the phone.
Honor! Where are you? Have you found her?
I'm on the trail and Beth is here with me. We're setting up camp for the night.
It'll probably take a day and a half to get back to the truck, then another 7+ hours to get back. How is she? Is she all right? Did she say anything?
Her father asked, and I realized they were on speakerphone.
She's fine, but worn out. It's a strenuous hike, especially at the beginning, which is all uphill. We haven't had a chance to really talk yet. My phone is low on juice, and I don't have a way to recharge it, so I probably won't call until we get back to the truck. Just know that she's healthy, safe, and with me. Can we talk to her?
I glanced over at Bibi, who was watching me intently. She shook her head.
She's not ready yet. When we get off the trail, all right?
Her mother's voice cracked.
Tell her we love her. Hurry home. I'll do that, Mrs. D. Trust that I'll get her back safe and sound. Promise, honor.
Promise me. Mrs. D said.
I promise.
Good.
Now hurry back. We love you both.
We love you too. Beth had been oddly quiet through it all and just watched as I put away the phone and went to work in the dying daylight. I slowly emptied the inside of her pack, wondering who the hell advised her on what to carry. She had everything but the kitchen sink. I started piling all the useless crap to one side while going through her gear. Her sleeping pad was a full-size inflatable, probably 3 or 4 pounds. Her sleeping bag was huge, a full-size Coleman sleeping bag, another 5. She had one of those dome tents with the crisscrossing poles and fly. Hell, her big 3 had to weigh at least 20 pounds. I figured she'd probably done her shopping at a Walmart or Target. As far as I was concerned, we wouldn't be carrying any of that crap with us the following day. Alright, maybe the sleeping bag, since we didn't have much of an alternative. When I was done examining and sorting her gear, there was a tiny pile of stuff to keep, and a huge pile of junk to get rid of. I kept expecting her to say something, but she was dead silent. I erected my bug shelter and put up the tarp over it. It still looked like a possibility of rain. Then I put her pad and mine inside, along with our sleeping bags. The rest of her gear, except for a rain jacket, half her toiletries, and her food went back into her pack. I emptied her 3-liter hydration bag into my platypus bag and water bottle. Her Boy Scout cook set and Coleman propane stove would get one last use. We might as well eat well since she'd been carrying 15 pounds of food with her.
Chili mac, lasagna, or beef stew?
I asked her.
Stew,
she answered softly.
Good.
I preferred the Mountain House chili mac. It was actually pretty good for freeze-dried instant. I got the water boiling and filled the bags. A few minutes later we were eating side by side.
You hiked this whole trail?
She asked out of the blue.
I don't think I was going to make it one more day. My feet are killing me.
We'd planned on making this trip for years.
I studied and knew how I was going to do it, how we were going to do it. What gear we would take, what we need to do to prepare.
You went at it half-assed with terrible equipment.
I asked the guys at the store to help me.
She said.
I'm sure you did. They were idiots and wanted to sell you as much as possible. My base weight when I hiked this trail was less than 9 pounds. Your pack and tent alone weighed more than everything I carried. We'll dump all your gear tomorrow. You won't need any of that stuff until we get back to the car.
Take off your shoes so I can see how your feet are.
She put her food bag to the side and unlaced her boots. I knelt at her feet and removed her socks.
Cotton socks.
Foolish. The blisters weren't too bad, considering. I opened the prepackaged medical kit someone had convinced her to buy. It might actually prove useful. I found the right size moleskin and bandaged her up.
Let it air out tonight. We'll put new ones on tomorrow.
I'm sorry.
She blurted. It's not a big deal. Lots of people get blisters when they first start out.
No, Honor. I'm sorry about everything.
I messed everything up.
Yes, she did.
Let's not talk about that yet, alright?
Okay.
Good. Let's clean up and get some sleep. We have a long ways to go tomorrow.
Let's face it. Ultralight gear may be lightweight, but it's never spacious. We were packed in pretty tightly inside the bug tent. We weren't in there 5 minutes before she was crawling my way.
BB.
I said, a warning in my voice.
Please, Honor.
I sighed and opened the side of my sleeping quilt. Beth snuggled in, and I lifted my arm, allowing her to come closer.
I love you, Honor. She whispered.
I know, BB.
I love you too.
She started kissing me, and I gave her a squeeze.
No, baby.
Not now, not here, not tonight. We're not ready for that.
Not even close.
Can I have a goodnight kiss? Foolishly, I allowed her to kiss me and responded.
And responded.
After a few minutes, I couldn't help but recall our first night sleeping together. Kissing and no more. The kisses slowly receded, ending with a few last pecks. In spite of her transgressions, this was the woman I'd loved all my life. It was hard to let that go.
Do we have a chance?
She whispered, her hands running over my body.
Probably not.
I'm sorry.
There's too many lies, too many betrayals, too much deception.
I'm really sorry.
I know I screwed up, but I'll make it up to you if you give me half a chance.
You have to know I love you.
I know.
We'll talk tomorrow.
Now's not the time.
I awoke a couple of times in the night, always with BB clinging to me like I might escape.
I'd miss that.
I didn't miss remembering why we'd been apart. When the light of dawn broke through, I managed to escape her clutches.
I started coffee and breakfast with the last of her weighty food. After this morning we wouldn't have a stove. A worn-out Bibi climbed out of the tent wearing panties and a t-shirt. I can't deny she looked as good as ever.
Coffee? She asked.
Hot and ready. Breakfast will be ready in about 5 minutes. I'll take care of your feet after we eat. While the water for the oatmeal heated, I deflated the pads, rolled up the sleeping gear and broke down the tent. We ate in quiet, and while Beth did her morning business, I finished packing up my gear. Her pad and sleeping bag easily doubled the weight of my pack. It was packed so full I had to strap her pad to the outside. By the time Bibi had returned and dressed, the camp was done. I bandaged her feet and helped her with her boots.
Why is my stuff on your pack?
She asked. We're only going to carry one from this point on. We don't need 90% of the gear you brought. She shook her head and started digging into the side pockets of her pack.
Tada! She crowed, waving a small nylon package.
What's that? I asked.
A portable day pack. She said proudly.
You brought two packs?
Unbelievable. The guys at the store said it would be useful when you went into town if you didn't want to bring the big one.
I could only shake my head at their logic.
I can help. I can at least carry my sleeping bag.
I wasn't going to argue. I gave her the sleeping bag and watched Beth pick through her old pack for a few more items before she was satisfied. The little day pack wouldn't weigh anything, but it didn't have a frame either, so it wouldn't be as comfortable or distribute the weight as well as mine. I figured the whole thing wouldn't weigh 5 pounds. Mine probably wasn't more than 12 to 14 even with the food and her pad.
I'm not looking forward to this. She said. I thought the hike would be fun. The only good part of it so far has been you. It won't be nearly as bad without you trying to carry half of your body weight on your back. As long as your blisters don't cause too much trouble.
We hiked back to the trail and left her big pack on the side with a note that said,
free.
It wasn't the best trail etiquette, but I figured someone could use most of it. After that, we headed up the trail with me carrying all the gear, and Bibi tentatively trekking along in front of me at the best pace she could manage. It was a rough march. Not physically so much, but emotionally. I confronted her on the issues and what I'd learned from Dale.
Drugs, Bibi?
I'm not proud of that. It was just pot. I don't know how Fred talked me into it. I guess I was curious and bored.
Just pot?
What about the coke, the ecstasy, and whatever other shit you were doing?
Ecstasy?
I didn't do anything but the coke once. Once was more than enough not to want to do that again. She said.
I know it was stupid, but I'm not addicted or anything.
Not a great argument. If you were addicted, that might explain going back to Fred over and over again.
It wasn't like that. She said.
I laughed. Straight out of the cheater's handbook.
Why, Bibi?
Why would you go back to him after the first time? One time, and maybe we could have overlooked it. But over and over again? Months of fucking around.
I don't know. I trusted him, Honor. He was our friend. Even after that first screw-up, I believed him. I believed it was a mistake, and that he was as messed up as I was. I had no idea why I gave in to him a second time. I guess if he gave me drugs I didn't know about, that might be part of it.
I swear, Honor, if I did anything other than pot, I didn't know about it. She slowed down, and I could see she was crying.
He did bad things to me, Honor, and I liked it.
Maybe it was the drugs. God, I hope it was the drugs. He had pictures of the second time. He never outright blackmailed me, but he hinted at it. He was a real bastard. She stopped, turning to look at me. I couldn't do it with that ass unless I was drunk and high as a kite. My therapist gave me a lot of reasons for fucking up as bad as I did. My hormones were out of whack after having Billy. I was upset that you kept working longer and longer hours, even after you had two kids at home. I'd never been with anyone but you. I was feeling unappreciated, and I was wasting all that education to stay home. I was pissed that your damn business was more important than your family and me.
Jesus, Bibi.
I know, Honor. I know. It's just so much bullshit. There's no excuse in the world for what I did. Not for putting myself in a position to be taken advantage of that first time. Not for letting him get me the second time. Certainly not for falling for his bullshit when you went to China. She turned and started marching away faster than ever. I had to work to keep up with her. I'm such a fucking idiot. She snapped. Having him over to end things, God, that was so stupid. She was stomping like she wanted to put her feet 6 inches in the ground. I knew what would probably happen. I'm a fucking idiot. I wanted to get high. Even after the best birthday ever, I just wanted to get high. One last time I told myself. I waited to see if she had anything else to say, but she just trudged along in silence. It was a few minutes before I was willing to interrupt the silence.
Tell me about Dale.
Dale. That stupid ass wipe. The first time I didn't even know he was there. Fred had invited him without me knowing. I didn't even know that Dale was screwing me from behind until Fred was standing in front of me. I pitched a fit, but they held me in place and kept taking turns on me.
I'm ashamed. I guess I got into it. Maybe he did drug me. It was all so dreamlike. But I can't deny it was good.
Hell, it was great, mind-blowing. It was like I was on fire. I was one huge raw nerve. I never expected it, that's for damn sure. I didn't want it, but once they got me going, I couldn't stop. I'm so sorry, Honor. I swear I didn't want it, and wish I had never done it.
That makes two of us.
I wish you had never done it. I wish to hell I hadn't seen it with my own two eyes. You'll never know how devastating that was.
I swear I died right then and there. My heart and soul shriveled up to nothing. There was more I wanted to ask, but I was too irritated to go on. So I shut up. She didn't give me any more lame excuses. We hiked along in silence for a good half hour before I broached the latest issue.
What were you thinking, BB?
Running off and abandoning our kids? Like you have room to talk. You disappeared for months. Hell, you weren't much of a father for the last couple of years.
I tried, Honor. I tried to be the super wife. Raise your kids, keep your home, be the socialite. I even tried to keep that damn company alive, but I couldn't anymore.
I just couldn't. She had some fair points. I didn't want to argue with her, I just needed to understand.
I know it's been difficult, BB-dash, difficult?
Difficult?
You have no idea.
While you were gallivanting around the world, partying with your new friends, shacking up with that little red-haired tramp, I was the town pariah. I was working my ass off trying to keep that damn company alive while taking care of your kids. I had to listen to all the condemning assholes blame me for all their problems. Not perfect Honor who left them high and dry.
No.
Just the stupid slut, the town harlot who couldn't keep her legs closed.
Well, fuck them.
Fuck all of them. And fuck you too, Honor, for abandoning your family. You might have a good reason to be pissed at me, at your mom and sister, even those assholes who worked for you. But your kids didn't deserve this. Tell me, Honor, how honorable is it to run away from your two children who did nothing wrong? Tell me that. She had stopped halfway through her tirade, yelling at me in the middle of the trail. Now she stood, arms crossed, glaring at me.
You're right, BB.
I fucked up, okay? I was so screwed up in the head I didn't know what to do, so I ran. I thought I was doing the right thing, putting some space between us while I settled down. The whole thing, finding out my soulmate was fucking my partner and best friend for months, that my mom was covering for you, that the whole fucking town knew I wasn't enough for my wife, it destroyed me. I was so devastated, humiliated, brokenhearted, that I didn't know how to handle it. I've never failed at anything, BB. To fail at the most important thing in my life, my marriage, was just too much to bear.
I'm sorry.
She sighed, then stepped forward and took my hand.
You didn't fail our marriage, Honor.
I did. The saddest part is I don't even really know why. She turned and started walking again, at a brisk pace. So tell me about your new girlfriend, my replacement.
What is she, 18?
She's not exactly my girlfriend, and she's not 18, she's 24. I'm not shacking up with her. We haven't had sex, not even close.
She's a friend.
Bullshit. I saw the videos, Honor. I want to be your girlfriend. She sang. The hussy was practically fucking you on stage.
It's complicated.
She's nice. She's good to me. Actually, being with the family in Newfoundland helped a lot getting my head on straight. I said.
Sure, drinking, partying, singing and playing, you were having fun while I was dying.
Let's not forget I didn't start this, BB. I wasn't the one fucking around, doing drugs, breaking my wedding vows, getting the whole damn town to cover for you. I spent the last 10 years on a fucking treadmill, doing nothing but work and dash, whose fault was that, Honor? Who made you responsible for a whole fucking town? How do you think I felt coming in third behind your business and your extended family? You were supposed to love me. Put me first, me and your kids.
I thought I was.
Everything I did was for us.
Nope.
I call bullshit. You can't take a week off for a vacation with me in 3 years, but you can run off and have a grand old time as soon as something goes wrong. You can travel 4 or 5 times a year for your fucking business, but not for us. Your priorities are pretty screwed up.
You cheated on me.
My perfect wife was a cheating slut. I screamed. You humiliated me in front of everyone. You ruined my world. I'm not perfect, I never was. I never claimed to be. I tried to be a good wife and mother, but I fucked up. Big time. I'm just human. I make mistakes. Everyone does, even you, Honor.
Even you.
We walked along in silence until we took a break to refill our water bottles and eat lunch. While I was running the water through my Sawyer filter, she finally broke the silence.
Why couldn't you forgive me, Honor?
You love me and you know I love you. You wouldn't even hear me out.
You didn't give me a chance.
You had to know I'd do anything to make it up to you, and I'd never be foolish enough to screw up again. I handed her a full bottle of clean water while refilling another.
That's the thing, BB.
Do I really know? Do I know you love me, that you wouldn't cheat again, that you hadn't before?
Damn it, Honor.
I told you dash,
what?
That you had sex with Fred 3 times? Or was it more like 40? That you fucked his brother Dale just because he was there. Over and over again. That you were smoking pot behind my back, hiding it from me? How much more were you hiding?
What are you still hiding?
What do I really know? There's an old rule of hiking that says the best place to carry water is inside you. I drank down an entire bottle before refilling it, while BB stared at me. You don't trust me at all anymore, do you? She said quietly.
Why would I?
I would think our 25 years would count for something.
Really?
It just makes me wonder. Did you do drugs in college? Were you fucking around back then when I was working for our future? How many other secrets are there?
Jesus, Honor.
Give me a break. I never cheated on you before. You were the only guy I was ever with until that asshole got to me. And I'm not some druggie. It was only pot for God's sake.
Did you smoke pot in college?
A few times.
It's no big deal.
Beth said.
Why keep it from me?
You know why. It's damn hard living up to your ideals. It wasn't worth fighting over or disappointing you.
So instead you kept it secret from me, and you wonder why I can't trust you. I just think you're looking for an excuse to say you can't trust me, so you can run off with your new teeny bopper girlfriend.
I shrugged my pack back on and handed her one of the energy bars.
Of course you're right. I'm looking for excuses not to trust you. It's not like you didn't give me plenty of reasons, wrapped up in a beautiful I fucked other men while high in our home package.
She stood up and took off walking.
Whatever, Mr. Perfect. Mr. I can do no wrong. Mr. Look at me, I'm so honorable I abandoned my kids. Mr. Heartless, soulless, merciless, Stoneheart.
We walked along in silence as the sky grew more overcast. I had been keeping my fingers crossed, but it looked like our luck was running out. It smelled like rain and was getting darker by the minute. I jogged up beside Beth to tell her I thought we should be looking for a place to set up shelter. As soon as I pulled alongside her, she looked over at me, and I could see she'd been quietly crying.
I'm sorry, Honor. What's happened to us? How can we say such mean things to each other? I don't think you had a cross word for me in 20 years. We're both suffering. We've been through a lot, not much of it good in the last few months.
I said.
Can we not talk about it for a while? I'm toast emotionally. I was hoping to get away from it for a while on this hike. I need to get rid of the stress. I was thinking some really dark thoughts before I left.
Terrible thoughts. That worried me. I figured Beth was depressed, and couldn't be completely right in the head to take off leaving the kids behind.
Alright, let's call a truce on our issues until we get off the trail. Just enjoy the beauty around us, for the few minutes we have left until the skies open up on us.
She chuckled.
Just our luck, huh? We can't catch a break.
The wind was picking up in warning of the incoming storm. The sky was dark gray. I could hear the distant rumble of thunder. I'd hoped we'd be able to get in a full day of walking, but it wasn't even 4 o'clock, and we'd have to shut it down soon. The good news was that I was pretty sure we'd put in close to 20 miles already.
Keep your eyes open for a decent camp area,
I suggested. It was only a few more minutes before we saw what looked like a well-used campsite a couple of dozen yards off the main trail.
What do you think? I asked, pointing towards it.
Lead on, Macduff,
she said, breathing heavily. I didn't think it was the best time to correct her quote. We marched through the light underbrush to a cleared-out patch of ground. It looked safe enough, with no obvious dead branches above in case it got real windy, and the ground was on a slight rise, so I didn't think we'd get washed out. I wasted no time getting the bug tent and tarp set up. Beth was blowing up the air mattresses while I double-checked the tarp guidelines. I found some sticks to pound into the dirt at an angle to the stakes, hoping to give them a little extra sticking power if it got ugly. The sky was almost black, and the thunder was only a couple of seconds behind the flash of lightning before we were completely set up.
You're good at this, Beth said. I swear it took me nearly an hour to set up camp on my own. Sometimes that pisses me off, how easy everything comes to you. I guess that's only fair. I'd get jealous of how easy it was for you to make friends. Everybody always loved you. I had to work hard for the few friends I had.
Beth cackled nastily.
Boy, are you ever wrong. Betray the town hero, break his heart, and see how many friends you have.
Try none.
Not one. Nobody will talk to me anymore.
She was arranging the sleeping gear within the tent, her butt pointing out the door at me.
It's pretty bad when even your father wants nothing to do with you.
I could smell the rain in the air and could feel the first stray drops. I had a feeling it would turn into a torrent at any time.
Boots off. Let's get the gear inside and take care of your feet, I said.
She turned around, blocking the entrance, as she removed her boots. I knelt down to help her as I heard the approach of the rain. A lightning bolt lit up the sky only a second before its thunderous refrain almost deafened me. Beth squealed in fear at the crash. She never was a fan of thunderstorms. We got her boots off, and I kicked off my trail runners. I was barely inside the tent when the rain picked up. With our gear in the tent with us, it was a very tight fit. I checked her feet, and the moleskin had kept the blisters from getting worse.
That was good.
I peeled the bandages off.
Let's let these breathe until tomorrow morning. I don't think we'll have to walk more than half a day to get to the truck.
The skies opened up, and the noise of the rain made it difficult to talk. The only good news is that the storm front coming in wasn't freezing. It had been a warm day, and the temperature dropped several degrees, but not too uncomfortable. I was staring out the front flaps at the rain when Beth's movements distracted me. I looked over to find her stripping down to her underwear.
What are you doing? I stink to high heaven and so do you, she said. How come you never told me about that part of hiking? It never came to mind.
Beth dug into her little day pack and came up with a packet of wet wipes. She started wiping herself down. She looked over at me, smirking.
You're going to clean up too if you expect to stay in this tent tonight.
I was tempted to remind her that it was my tent, and I had many more valid reasons to kick her out rather than me. But we were in truce mode, and the last thing I wanted was to start up another fight. Stripped down to my boxers, I had to admit it felt good to have the brisk cool air on my skin. The wet wipes did a good job of getting most of the stink off of us.
Get my back, Honor!
I looked over, and she had taken off her bra. She sat there in just her panties waiting patiently.
It was difficult.
She'd been the love of my life, and she still was gorgeous. Wiping her down reminded me of better times. Not to mention that I hadn't been laid in months.
This wasn't good.
When I finished, she turned around, exposing her tits to me.
Turn around, I'll get your back, she said.
I did, while the rain poured all around us and the intermittent crashes of thunder shook the air. I felt her lips on my shoulder.
Don't, BB.
she sighed audibly. I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. I've missed you so damn much, especially at night. Haven't you missed me at all? Of course I miss you. You can't just throw away all our years together overnight. Let's get under the blanket, she said. I only then noticed that she'd opened up both of our sleeping bags completely. Hers was on the bottom and mine was on top. It actually wasn't a bad idea, technically. Hers was thicker and synthetic. It wouldn't compress as much and would retain more warmth underneath us. Plus it would be more comfortable. Mine was down and would provide more warmth on top. Plus it weighed a third of what hers did. She was already under my blanket before I started to join her. Moments later she was moving against me. Hold me, Honor? I'm scared. I believe that. She never liked big storms and hated lightning. The gods were putting on a hell of a light show outside. The wind had picked up and made the tarp shake and snap. The rain was coming down in buckets. I opened my arm to her, and she cuddled up to me. We lay there quietly, each lost in our own thoughts for a long time, while the worst of the front passed over us. It must have been about 30 minutes before it was obvious that the wind had dropped and the rain was much lighter. Even the thunder and lightning was growing more distant. Love me, Honor? She whispered in my ear. Of course. I probably always will. No, love me, she insisted. Her hand reached down and grabbed my erection, which had been present since moments after she cuddled up to me. I don't think that's a good idea, BB. I know. It's probably a terrible idea. I don't care. Love me one last time in case this really is the end of us. Once more. Please. Her hand stroked my cock, and I was hard-pressed to say no. Don't think about it, Honor. Let it all go for tonight. We've loved each other our entire lives. Let's remember those good times again. Don't make me beg. Her hand was inside my boxers, and it was clear that part of me thought it was an excellent idea. She climbed half on top of me and pressed her lips to mine. I didn't fight her off. I couldn't if I'd tried. For a few fleeting last minutes, she was my Beth. I returned her kiss, stroking her soft skin. I ran my fingers down her back until I found her bare ass. She was naked. Then she climbed under the blanket and pulled off my boxers. I felt her mouth on my cock and couldn't hold back a groan. She only spent a minute or so sucking me before she climbed on top. She held my cock in her hand before settling down on it. Damn, I had missed this. When she had taken all I had to give, she laid down on my chest, sighing. This is where I belong, she said. This is where I've always belonged. I heard her sniffle. I'm such a damn fool. A fucking idiot. Hush, I told her. I held her, kissing her tears away. Even after everything, it hurt to see her cry. She started moving slowly, carefully, her hips raising and lowering, sheathing and unsheathing my aching cock. I won't last long, I warned her. I know. It really has been a long time for you, hasn't it? Since the day before it happened. She kissed me softly. Come whenever you want. I grabbed her ass and fucked up into her hard. It was only a minute or so before I was grunting my release. Beth gave me a sweet kiss, then got out from under the blanket. Her little wet wipes cleaned me up and did the same for her. The air was cool, and she shivered as she pulled the blanket back over us. I held her as she cuddled up to me. Thank you, she said. I just gave her a squeeze. We were quiet for a few seconds before she started talking about the kids. How Billy was speaking more. How well Marie was doing in school. It was a painful reminder of the mistakes I'd made. While she talked, her hand caressed my body. Her fingers strayed downward and stroked my cock gently. We had been lying there a while before we both realized I was hard as a rock. She kissed me softly and climbed on top again. Is this okay? She asked anxiously. To say the least, I admitted. She giggled before taking me for an extended ride. This time was better, and after several minutes I could feel and hear her response. She cried out my name as she came for me. After that, she rode me more aggressively, heedless of losing our top blanket. I was able to hear her familiar cry one more before I came for her. It was an hour of whispered remembrances before her gentle touch had me responding. The outside wind had all but stopped. The rain was a gentle shower. She crawled under the blanket and spent several minutes using her mouth to get me fully hard again. I'd be a liar to say I didn't enjoy it. I made a conscious effort to avoid thinking about how she had betrayed me. Every time dark thoughts popped into my head, I purposefully remembered our early days. When she had me good and hard, she laid down beside me. Your turn. Take me. However you want. I did, fucking her doggy style and missionary. I took her on her side, straddling one leg and pounding her hard. Again doggy style before both of us were on our sides, and I fucked her from behind. She was excited and very vocal, coming for me a few times before I pounded my cum home. She was clinging to me, purring after that one. God, we were always so good together. Hell, I never knew how good I had it until. She suddenly shut up. That subject is off limits for tonight, BB. Understand? Yes, Honor. I understand. I'm sorry. That's not good enough, I told her. Her body stiffened within my arms. I need you to suck me until I'm hard. That's your punishment. She giggled then stopped. You've already come 3 times. It'll take forever. I guess that's the price you'll have to pay. I actually pulled out my tiny headlamp and directed it at her as she sucked. She wasn't having much success, but watching her was a treat. When she started shivering, I pulled the top blanket around her shoulders covering her up. She settled in for the long haul, sucking gently, teasing me. The air was cool, but I was burning up. I was also having second thoughts about what we were doing. I hoped she didn't see this as us solving our issues. Amazingly, after a very long time, I was hard again. She pulled up, stroking my cock firmly with her hand.
Damn, that was a lot of work. I hope you plan on putting that thing to good use.
I believe she approved when I took her from behind again, doggy style, my headlamp highlighting her sexy form. Her gentle curves and perfect ass bright white under the LED lights. I enjoyed her for a long time before riding her down and lying on top of her, still pumping her pussy.
My ass, Honor.
She pleaded. One last time. It was then that I realized that she understood this was our swan song. I brought her back up to her knees and opened her up with one finger, then two, while plowing her pussy slowly. The only lube we had was our shared juices, but that seemed to be enough. She grunted as I pressed my cock head against her brown eye. That turned into a long low moan as I gently worked my way in. I fucked her ass slowly, and as she sagged underneath me, I followed her down. She was splayed out underneath while I pumped her long and slow in her forbidden entrance. Anal wasn't something we often did, but it wasn't off the table either. I have to admit that there wasn't anything that Beth had denied me over the years. She was always open to trying anything. I laid on top of her, my weight pinning her down. I kissed her neck and saw she was crying. She squinted into the glaring headlamp.
Can you turn that off?
She pleaded. I did before kissing her cheek.
Am I hurting you?
I asked.
No, honey. I was just thinking. Don't stop, please. I never let them have this. Nobody but you, Honor. Never. And nobody ever will have me there again. I'm sorry. No talk of that, BB. Please.
She nodded. We were quiet as I fucked her perfect ass one last time. I could hear her gentle sobs, but I knew it wasn't pain. At least not physical pain. It broke my heart. I'd loved this woman so deeply and for so long that her pain still was mine. I felt my own tears running down my cheek as I recalled so many things. Our first time. Our honeymoon, when she initially gifted me her ass. Our graduation cruise. I didn't want to think about how she ruined it or why. I didn't want to think of anything. When I came, it was different. I thrust deep and quietly emptied what was left in my pipes. She sobbed loudly as I finished. I kissed her neck and rolled off of her, leaving her lying on her belly, trembling.
You know I'll always love you, BB.
I said.
I know, Honor.
She finally answered several seconds later. She took a few minutes to wipe her face and but with the wet wipes. She sat at my waist and cleaned me as well, before putting the dirty wipes in the ever-growing pile in the corner. I pulled her in close, kissing her face after I'd covered her up with the top quilt. Her skin was cold to the touch. I did my best to warm her up, and she clung to me. I was half asleep when I heard her whisper.
Thank you for tonight. I'll always love you, Honor. Always.
I slept like a rock, only awakening when Beth kissed me. I slowly opened my eyes, and she was dressed.
Good morning, sleepyhead. Daylight's burning.
Morning.
Ugh.
She laughed, and gave me a poke.
Up.
I got dressed and climbed out of the tent to take a leak. Beth handed me a bottle of water when I returned. She was already rolling up the sleeping gear, and I took down the tarp.
How are your feet?
Much better.
I put on the moleskin like you showed me. I'll be fine.
We didn't talk much as we finished breaking down our little camp. She had her little pack on her back waiting for me patiently, while I adjust the insides of my backpack. Once I stood, she handed me one of our meal bars. That and a Snickers. I'll give her full credit for bringing those along.
We can have breakfast on the way.
She said, taking off and leaving me in her dust. I caught up with her quickly. The trail was wide enough to walk side by side.
Are you okay?
I asked, wondering about the changes I was seeing.
As good as I guess I'll ever be from now on.
She said.
Don't dawdle. I miss my babies.
We'd only been walking for a few minutes, still stretching our muscles out when she started talking.
I knew it, you know. I tried to lie to myself, thinking everything would work out in the end. But I knew deep down inside. Once I was with Fred that second time, it was all over. You'd never take me back. You're too black and white, too right versus wrong. I'm pretty sure that's part of the reason I didn't stop. I was still feeling guilty as hell, but in my heart I knew that I'd blown it. I'd given you up through my own stupidity.
I was tempted to let her continue to vent, but I wanted to speak my piece as well.
I'm not sure that's true, BB. I think we might have worked it out if it was just between us. If you had messed up that one trip and no more. But bringing my mother and sister in on it, allowing the whole town to see what was going on, and repeating your mistakes when I went to China, and even after I came home, it all became too much.
Maybe.
Who knows, maybe you would have taken me back, but it would never be the same, would it?
She asked.
No. Probably not.
I admitted. Our hike that morning was more of that. Quiet during the more strenuous portions, interspersed with brief discussions. A lot less vitriol. There was one last thing that really irked me. I knew that I'd have no real peace until I dealt with that.
Tell me about Fred.
I said.
That asshole? He's gone. Left 2 days after you did. He abandoned his wife and kids and disappeared. The last I saw him was when I fired him for cause for lying on his timesheets about where he was while you were on your trips. I knew for a fact he hadn't put in 40 hours a week at work. Hell, I don't think he put in 20.
She chuckled, which I found weird. Fred tried to argue until I threatened his life, and I meant it. He got angry, so I had to kick him in the balls a few times and call security. Apparently the next day a few of the guys from work found him alone and beat the hell out of him. I'm told they promised to do it every day he stayed in town. Do you know where he went? I asked.
Not a clue. Don't want to know. That slimy bastard ruined my life. I know it's not all his fault, but if not for him I never would have screwed around.
You pick some lousy best friends, Honor. After the next long silence, it was Beth who began. How long are you back for? Have you given any thought to your old business?
I'm not sure. I have some ideas, but they don't involve Honor Energy. I'm done with that. I'm considering starting a new business, but I'll be a lot pickier about who I hire. I'm done with them too. I tried so hard, but nobody appreciated me in the least. I could hear the comments behind my back. I'm not going to make the effort anymore, so I guess they're done.
She slowed down until I caught up to her, and we walked side by side while the trail opened up.
Will I see you at all? You're the mother of my kids. While I'm around, I'll be nearby. I figure we'll be seeing a lot of each other. I said.
But you won't be living with us anymore.
No. I have my own place. She sighed. I sometimes wonder if it wouldn't be easier if you just left and didn't come back. Then I could move on and get away from all my mistakes. They're my kids too, BB.
I know, Honor. I'm glad you've pulled your head out of your ass and remembered that much. I'm not going to keep you away from them, never. My house will always be open to you. Always.
It was interesting to hear her new attitude. It was her house now, not ours. I think we were both coming to grips with the way things needed to be. We came out at where the trail met the parking area. I stepped out from underneath the canopy of trees. Beth stood at the edge of the macadam.
I'm parked right over there. I said.
This is it.
Isn't it?
It's over. As soon as I get in that damn truck, it's over. The trail was a brief fantasy. Now it's back to my shitty life.
It'll get better. The kids will be missing you terribly.
We still have a fifth birthday to plan for this weekend. I said.
Beth nodded. I watched her breathe deep, bracing herself, then take one step forward. It took a few more seconds for her to regain control, and she plastered a fake smile on her face. Then she strode past me to the truck, shrugging off her pack and throwing it in the back.
I'm not getting in that damn thing until you promise me something. She said, leaning up against the side, her arms crossed in front of her.
What?
You need to feed me. When we get out of this park, I need a serious feeding. I'm starving.
I think we can manage that. I said.
My pack joined hers in the back, once I'd extracted my wallet, keys, and phone. I unlocked her door for her, and she climbed in, immediately taking off her boots. I got in on the opposite side, started up the truck and plugged in the phone charger.
We need to call your family. Are you up for it?
She nodded. She grabbed the phone and made the call. I was only privy to half of the conversation.
Mom?
It's me.
Yes, Mom, we're on our way back.
No, I'm not going to talk about that now. Honor and I are driving back, and we can talk then. She turned to me.
How long before we get back?
She asked.
At least 7 or 8 hours.
It's 2:12 now. She put the phone to her ear.
I figure between 10 and 11 tonight if nothing goes wrong.
I don't know. She said.
Like I told you earlier, we'll talk when we get back. Let me speak with the kids.
She spent a good 10 minutes chatting with Marie, and even Billy somewhat, while I headed north. I even got a few words in on speakerphone. When she hung up, she was crying again. I patted her on the leg.
Things will be fine.
No, they won't. They might get a little better, but it'll never be right again.
Can we not talk about it?
At least not until I've had some food.
What about my car? She asked.
Don't worry. I'll have someone pick it up. It'll be delivered home within a day. The trip home was anticlimactic. We had a huge meal in Front Royal, and she slept most of the trip. While she was snoring, I made a couple of calls of my own, to Darren letting him know that I would start working on the business, and to Janie to get her caught up. I promised her a longer call the next day. A couple of hours later I woke Beth for another feeding around 7 o'clock. At 10:45 I pulled up in front of our old home. As you might expect, there was a big teary greeting and some difficult words. The kids woke up, and we spent a few minutes with them before putting them back to sleep. It was after midnight when I drove away to spend the night at my house in town. Alone. On my way out the door, I got a hug from Beth.
Good night, Arnold.
Thank you for coming to get me. Maybe you can stop by tomorrow to see the kids, and we can make some plans for Marie's birthday.
I'll do that.
It struck me that it was the first time in her life that Beth called me Arnold. I guess Honor no longer fit. And I have to confess, a large part of the reason for that was my own. Still, it hurt. The end. You have been listening to this podcast on the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts. Their links are in the description of this episode. To support the free Erotica Podcasts, visit our Patreon link. This will allow us to continue providing free content as well as it gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choosing. Links for everything are in the podcast description.